Welcome to Citra, the hiding place, an outreach meeting of the New and Living Way Church Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen. Please, let's have our seats. I remember one meeting we went for like that until Ajay. That was 3 years ago now. And then it was time for us to come and minister. And that's how they played intro. I was seeing my picture and plenty of things that were written about me. I just started laughing. By the time they said, okay, in fact, they had to signal to me because I didn't know it was time for me to stand up to go to the pulpit. Pastor, thank you so much. Pastor, thank you so much. Pastor Charles, good afternoon, sir. It's a joy seeing you again today. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy 2024. 2024 promises to be a great year. A great year in the spirit, a great year also in the natural. And I hope we know that it doesn't matter what we are seeing around us. We run by a different economy. I remember towards the end of last year, one very famous apostle said, 2024 will be a year of turbulence. I now read the comments under that particular post on social media. People said, every year in Nigeria is turbulent. that is not a prophecy. That this prophet did not say anything. That even the blind can predict. When you see the way 2023 went, you also 2024 will be turbulent. So there's nothing new. Hallelujah. But we thank God for how much God has helped us. And we thank God for the mercy and grace we are finding to be able to be in time with the will of God for our days. The Lord will strengthen us in the name of Jesus. Pastor, I want to really appreciate God for you, sir. Thank you so much. Please, can we jam our hands together for Pastor? Pastor is a servant of God. He's a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a servant of our parents, our daddies in all the realms. Shall you understand? I really thank God for Pastor. I thank God for Pastor's heart. You know, one of the things that actually, one of the many things that thrills me about Pastor is Pastor's heart. Many times, Pastor does not remember he's a pastor. You know, if you come around Pastor, you discover that Pastor's use of the word is first and foremost for himself before he even thinks of somebody else. And every time I come around you and we get talking, I learn a whole lot from you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Pastor is not crazy about preaching the word. Pastor is more particular about living the word. It's Pastor's heart. If you are very close to Pastor, I don't know how many of us are very close to Pastor, you'll have seen, you know, that Pastor's heartbeat is different. Pastor is not ambitious about ministry and he is a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, indeed. Pastor, I'm sorry I'm talking about you like this. It's like I'm putting you on the spot. I'm sorry. That's just how I find the flow. Pastor is somebody who cherishes a good conscience, you know, above many things. Now, you see that thing I said may not be something many of us treasure or value. Shall you understand? Now, if you don't treasure or value it, you need redemption somewhere. You know, a good conscience is better and is more powerful than ability to raise the dead. You know, a good conscience is that thing that makes you know, you know, that before the Lord, you are faultless and blameless. Paul said, I exercise myself in this, that I might be without offense. I might be void of offense before God and before men. So if you ask Paul, when you are not preaching, what are you doing? That's what Paul is doing. He's busy exercising himself to ensure that he has a conscience that is void of offense before God and before men. And it's a very good motto to live by. Let's say amen. Pastor, thank you so much. As in, Pastor, I love you. I respect you. And my respect for you will increase this year in the name of Jesus. Can we appreciate Mommy, Mama Rose in the house? Pastor Rose. Thank you so much. I'm always happy when I see you. Thank you for loving Pastor. And thank you for sacrificing, laying your life down for the Lord's sake. Thank you so much. I know some people who decided, some ladies who decided they weren't going to marry a particular kind of, you know, some guys because they have something to do with ministry. You know, the lady just said, I'm engaged. And that was all. Why? Because the person they were going to get married to is a pastor. A whole lot of things come with it. And I'm not talking about the respect. I'm not talking about I'm talking about work. A lot of work. Daddy, Pastor Mika always says that the work of an evangelist is backbreaking, but the work of a pastor is heartbreaking. You know, I remember many years ago having a conversation with Reverend Olabode. We traveled from Ondo to Akumba for a meeting. And while we were en route, we got talking. And he told me something. He said, Mike, he said, I know you're a minister and I know that you are going to have something to do with the ministry. He said, I want to say something to you. Get ready for your heart to be broken many times. And that's weighty. That's a lot of, you know, when he said that thing, that thing entered one part of my mind where things cannot easily leave. You know, that thing just stood, you know, like that in the heart. A whole lot comes with it. You have to share your house with people you didn't know from Adam. You have to share your resources with people you didn't know. You have to lay your life down literally. And I want you to know that God will show you so much mercy and you will not lose your reward in the name of Jesus. Thank you very much, Ma. God bless you so much. You know, sometimes some of us don't know that ministers' wives also read Cinderella and you know, those kind of stuff that, you know, all those dreams that small girls grow up with, they also grow up like that. If you ask Mommy Lillian, she will tell you she had plans for her life. She understand, you know, long before it took the turn that it took. And every one of us, we are profiting from the altar of their sacrifice. You know, we really give God thanks. Thank you so much, Ma. I want to appreciate everyone in the house joining forces with Pastor to lead the walk. Thank you so much, Pastor Moses and his wife in absentia. I think if I wasn't here, I would have been where Pastor Moses, you know, is right now. So I want to really appreciate Pastor and his wife and the entire family. I want to appreciate Pastor Nii. I want to appreciate Pastor Happy. I want to appreciate every one of them. Thank you so much. I want to appreciate my brother at the back there. Thank you, sir. So good to see you. I always look forward to seeing you every time I come around for Citra, you and your wife. Thank you for always encouraging me. God will bless you in the name of Jesus. I'm happy to see us all. I want to also appreciate our daddy, Pastor Emeka Oguchukwu. That's the general overseer of NLWC worldwide. Let's say worldwide. So anywhere you see New and Living Way Church, if it does, if it's not tied to Pastor Emeka, I don't know the church you have seen. So thank God for daddy. Every one of us, we are the way we are because of the example that we see in daddy, Daddy Emeka Oguchukwu. We really give God praise for him. Daddy came back from Poland not too long ago. He has gone to fight Polish spirits. Then from there, he moved to Austria and did some wrestling. Then came back to Lagos with spoils of war. As we follow him, we will arrive safely in the name of Jesus. And I want to appreciate our grandparents. That's our daddy. Oyegoke and Mommy. You know, I dropped a message for someone this morning and I said that it is a rare, when I say rare, I mean once in a lifetime privilege to know daddy and to know Mommy Helen. And it's so much of a once in a lifetime experience or privilege that in the world to come, we will appreciate the weight of what God gave to us. You know, in those people. I really want to appreciate, you know, God for them. Daddy and Mommy, US, Canada, many of us were just eating chicken, doing a whole lot of stuff. They were preaching, you know, everywhere. And we learned from them how to be instant in season and out of season. And much more, you know, the life that they live and the word that they preach. It's a great blessing to, I don't just want to say our generation, but I think every generation. You know, and I really want to give God praise for them. Hallelujah. We are their children and we are their grandchildren. We'll not disappoint God by the grace of God. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And I want to appreciate everybody. Thank you so much. Good seeing our faces again. There were many weddings today, but you chose to be at Citra. God will bless you in the name of Jesus. And we'll not lose our reward in Jesus' name. Okay, can we bow our heads for prayer? Father, we give you all the glory and praise. We thank you for your mercy and favor. Thank you for favoring this house. Thank you for favoring every one of us. Thank you for the platform of Citra. We exalt your name, our Father, for 2023. Thank you for Citra from inception. Thank you for all the vessels you have used to bring blessings. Thank you, Lord, for 2023. Thank you for from January to December. Thank you for how you manifested yourself. Thank you for how you helped us. Thank you for how people found strength in the places where they were weak. We give you all the glory, our Father. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. And this is 2024. We thank you in advance for what you are set to do. Thank you for your vision for us this year. And thank you, Lord, because by December or by November, we'll be having every reason to give God thanks to you. Every one of us will look at our lives and see your visible handwriting. We thank you, our Father. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I bring myself under your Lordship again today. I ask for mercy. I ask for help to discharge your thoughts accurately to my brethren. Help me to be of help to them. Help me not to stand in your way. Show me mercy, my Father. Help me, Lord Jesus. I receive utterance and I receive understanding. I receive help. I receive entrance for everyone that will be under the sound of my voice. We'll receive every provision of this meeting today in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you because you've answered our prayers. We give you glory, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. I want us to open our Bible to, the book of Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 verse 1. The book of Revelation chapter 14 verse 1. Revelation chapter 14 verse 1. If we are there, can we say amen? All right. Can we read together? I want us to read from verse 1 to verse 5. Revelation chapter 14 from verse 1 to verse 5. Revelation 14 from verse 1 to 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, as of the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Let's say amen. So my emphasis, verse 1 and verse 5. So verse 1 says, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. I'm just remembering, I think we left from there in November, right? Okay, interesting. So I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. So the first person standing on that mountain was the lamb, right? And then with him were 144,000. And what is peculiar about these people is that they have his father's name. Do we understand that? They had his father's name. So whose father are we talking about? The lamb's father. So they had the name of the father of the lamb written in their foreheads. Are we together? Then the last verse, that's verse 5, it says that there was no guile in their mouths. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Let's say before the throne of God. You know, this is a very good ambition to live by. Shall you understand that I want to get to a point where the throne will look at me from head to toe and there will be nothing to adjust. Shall you understand? There will be nothing to correct. So it's not only the adversary that finds fault. The throne also can find fault with a person. So the adversary is not the only person who brings up, you know, who sees things that are wrong. The throne itself, the very throne of God, can look at you. And when we talk about the throne of God, you know, we are not talking about a seat. The throne of God is a constitution of beings. Are we understanding? The throne of God is what? A constitution of beings. Let's say beings. Let's say beings. You know, the throne has arrangements. Shall we understand? In fact, by the time you are moving into the throne, not the seat now. You see that seat in the book of Revelation is actually, it was prepared. Or let me say it was set. They set it there. That seat, look, they just did put that seat there to depict a thing about the throne of God. Are we understanding what I'm saying? But that throne itself is not the thing. That seat itself is not the throne. The throne of God are beings, entities. You know, let me, you know, talk about the ones.
Sir?
Yeah, thank you, sir. So pastor used a very good word. Pastor said it's just like saying the presidency. You know, the president is different from the presidency. Shall you understand? The presidency is the president and the people that are very close around the president that they rule together. Are we understanding what I'm saying? That's the presidency. I remember watching one movie recently, you know, and then somebody said, we got a call from the presidency. And the person said, is it the president? I said, no, the presidency. He said, it could have been anybody from that place. Shall you understand? Now, that is the presidency. So when we talk about the throne of God, we are talking about beings. So the only person there is not God. There are many beings there. There are 24 elders. You don't know them. Do you understand? There are beasts that are around. All of those entities like that are beings that make up the throne of God. So they are all entities with eyes. And when they are looking at you, what they are looking at is not your face. Are we understanding what I'm saying? What they are looking at is not your face. What they are looking at is not your height. It's not your stature. They are looking at you from head to toe. Peradventure, you have something that is injurious to the nature of the one sitting on the throne. Are we getting it? So they said these ones were without fault before the throne of God. Are we getting what I'm saying? So it's not only the adversary that can find fault with a soul. Even the throne of God can find fault with someone. But this generation of people, they said they had the name of the Father of the Lamb. That means the first person that God fathered was the Lamb. Are we together? The first fatherhood, the evidence of the fatherhood of God was actually the Lamb of God. So that's the firstborn. Let's say firstborn. So that's our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and I like the way they talked about these people. They said they had the name of the Father written in their foreheads. So now God will not put a wrong name on a wrong product. Are we getting what I'm saying? They won't put the Father's name on you if your content is not the Father. Are we following me? So God won't put kerosene. He won't label petrol kerosene. Now, you as a human being won't even do that. That thing is disastrous. I know one man like that is the father of somebody who lived, who was our neighbor. Very handsome, you know, man. And then when I met the father, you know, very handsome man also, you know, handsome man, handsome, very lively, intelligent, as in very intelligent. Suddenly, I think I went to school, I came back, and then they just told me that Brad Demola's dad had died. Was he sick? They said no. So apparently Baba was not feeling too fine. And then they recommended, you know, something for Baba. So I think they did some herbs. They put the herbs inside a bottle. So Baba was supposed to be drinking, you know, that particular thing. So somebody now went, put that bottle beside rat poison. And then, you know, that bottle did not have a label. So the rat poison bottle did not have a label. So they now told the house help one day that, okay, please label these two things so that there will be no mistake. That's how he looked at the rat label, looked at the rat poison, looked at the bottle, then carried this other one, looked at the bottle, now wrote rat poison on what was supposed to make Baba okay, and wrote medicine. So when it was time for Baba to take his drug, that's how they gave poison to Baba. He took it and he died. Now, that's one of the things that can be that's one of the products of actually putting a wrong label. Are we understanding? On a wrong content. Or putting a label on a content that don't match.
So there is something in the content. There was something else on the label. Are we understanding? Now, God doesn't make that kind of mistakes. Human beings can make those mistakes. And, you know, in case we are here, share you guys. You know, some of us are very sloppy. We are never thorough at what we do. One of the things I tell people who are around me is that I don't like to do something. And then they will now give that same thing to somebody else to do it again. That means you failed. That means you are not excellent at what you do. You know, that thing is a soul disease. If they bring you into matters of life and death, it's the same way you will handle it. Shall you understand? So if you know you are like that, begin to consciously work on yourself. Do we get? Now, some of us see roads on the, you know, maybe you are just going somewhere and then you just, bad roads. You'll be amazed at how many times they have allocated that road. But the roads are never good. Sometimes you just see road like, wow, they've done this road, they'll give it 2 weeks. Then you just discover that, why is this road like this? Maybe they just finished doing it. Now, because the person that did the work was a sloppy person. Now, he didn't start the sloppiness with road projects. He started the sloppiness with sweeping the room. Oh, yeah, sweep the room. You know, some people will sweep the room. You wonder what they swept. You understand that? Should they buy a ride? Motikba. And then you are just looking. You don't even need anything. You don't need to. You are just looking at so many things. Now, you see that sloppiness will not end there. That thing will grow with you. Shall you understand? If you are like that. So, if you are like that, repent and trust God to help you to become thorough. Let's say amen. And you know, the Holy Ghost can help you there. Shall you understand? The Holy Ghost will tell you that you did not sweep that ground well. Sometimes, when they give you assignment to do, it's as if there's just something, they're just pushing you. Just quickly do it and rush. Shall you understand? Now, you see that spirit that is encouraging you to do that thing is not going to stop there. It's not going to stop there. That thing will grow with you. And as you begin to grow like this, the thing will begin to develop intelligence. And then it will get to a particular point where you will just be a murderer on the loose. Shall you understand? Why? Because you just started with being sloppy. Sometimes you tell somebody, wash plates. The person will wash plates. And then by the time the person has finished washing the plates, you just turn the plate over like you just touched something. Oil. There's enough oil to fry. Shall you understand? Maybe you just wash this place. Sometimes some people just wash plates like that. Just drop it inside the, you know, among the plates that had already been washed. They are not thorough. It's not a good thing. Are we understanding? And Satan's seed inside the soul. And that thing must be taken out. Are we getting what I'm saying? God will help us in Jesus' name. So now God is not sloppy. And when I say God is not sloppy, I know what I'm saying. See, God will not mistakenly put the Father's name on you if your content is different from the name that you are going to attract. God will not do that. God will look at you and just say, okay, by my mercy. You know, by mercy, now by mercy. Rara, you are carrying a dangerous virus. And that virus has been looking for a way to use throne to operate. Do you understand? So, but God will look at you and say, like, yeah, this one will not happen. Now, that angel appeared to Mary, Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the packaging of that spirit that was coming from heaven was what determined the name they gave that spirit. Now, that's how God behaves. Are we understanding? So, and then, you know, when they say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If they say, if Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. Do you think if you are not a father, you'll get there? Because it's a house of fathers. Are we understanding? And if he says, I want to prepare a place for you, then that means you cannot be lesser than the stature of a father for you to enter that place. So that father's house is not heaven. Do we understand? You don't need to be a father to enter heaven. The thief on the right hand of Jesus, did he become a father? Did he have everlasting life to enter heaven? No! No! So where Jesus went to prepare is the place that is very high. Do we understand? So this place, he says, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So if the name, the label is the name of the father, then the content will match the name. Are we understanding? And I now remembered something in Matthew chapter 28. I want us to go there. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I hope you are following me. Hey, the Lord is our strength in Jesus' name. See, I'm going somewhere. You see all these things I'm saying? Where I'm going is still, it's not this place. I'm going somewhere. Matthew chapter 28. I want us to read from verse 19 to verse 20. Matthew 28 from verse 19 to 20. If we are there, can we say amen? All right, can we read it together? One, two, go. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, pause. Now, this is not one name. Are we following me? Let's say it's not one name. Let's say it's not one name. So, because if it is one name, it will not be of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So they are different. So the Holy Ghost has his own name. You know, they didn't say in the name of the Father, comma, Son, comma, and the Holy Ghost. That's not how it is written. It is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost has his own name. The Son has his own name and the Father also has his own name. Let's say amen. Let's say amen. Okay. Now, next verse. Next verse. And teaching them, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So what we call the Great Commission, are we following me, is to preach the gospel to every, no, sorry, go to all nations. I'm already mixing it with Mark. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Let's say teach all nations. So by teaching all nations, we will end up baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let's say amen. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. Thank you. So Colossians 2 2. It says, Colossians 2 2. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of, can we read it together? To the acknowledgement of what? The mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. So you see that these mysteries are not, it's not just one mystery. Are we together? There are three. Christ has his own mystery. The Father has his own mystery, and God also has his own mystery. Let's say amen. So I want us to put these three together with Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Thank you. So if you can match the two verses together, you know. So Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, it speaks of three names, right? Yes, so, and the first one is what? Father. The name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. Then Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, what does it say? It said the mystery of God, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of Christ. Thank you so much. As in, God will bless you. Thank you. So, one is mystery. Shall we understand? The other one is name. Now, the two of them are not the same. Let's say amen. Now, the least of the mysteries is the mystery of Christ. The least of the names is the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, the difference between the mystery and the name is that the name is the power to the mysteries. Because Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So all the powers in heaven, all power in heaven and on earth is actually summed up in these three names. Now, power is what gives access. Power, let's say power. Now, power in the realm of the natural, you know, is, you know, you can tell a powerful man by ability to lift things, you know, by the ability to, you know, do what, you know, a very tiny somebody, you know, somebody cannot do. Imagine you have a brother who just joins, NWC, Ikorodu. And then when they say, able brothers, we need you to stand back and then park everywhere. You just see this particular brother just carry one generator like this, one hand. And then another generator like this, one hand. And then the brother is going. In fact, the brother is even praying in tongues while the brother is doing it. That's a very powerful. You know, those kind of brothers can even intimidate you. You just be looking at yourself like, be like, say, I know, I be brother, but able brother. This one is able brother. Sure, you understand. So somebody will look at that kind of a brother and say, he has power. Do we get? But that is not the sense in which God uses the word power. Power is a constitution that can open doors. Now that's power. Power is a constitution that can be granted access. So, but mystery, let's say mystery. Now mystery is actually a hidden truth that contains a life that is not made manifest. Now when they talk about mystery, what mystery is really keeping? Or what mystery is actually hiding is a particular kind of life or a particular life code. So the breaking of a mystery is actually the revelation of the life that that mystery is keeping or is hiding. Are we following what I'm saying? Are we following what I'm saying? All right, good. But you see, name actually speaks of power. So when they say the name of the Holy Ghost, for example, or the name of the Son, the name of the Father, as in it's all power. And then this one is mystery. God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, looking at it, the least mystery here is Christ. But when you check this place, you discover that the least name here is the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, what does that tell us? That means I need the name of the Holy Ghost to assess the mystery of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? I need the name of the Holy Ghost. Let's say I need the name of the Holy Ghost. So, of course, I like the word, the name of the Holy Ghost. The name of the Holy Ghost means that the content. Do you understand? The content inside. This guy is already ghosted. This is a full ghost stature at a level. Do we understand? And then this one is now ready to now lay hold on the next mystery. Shall we get? And then the mystery of Christ. Now, you can look at it like that, and then everything keeps going like that. So, the name of the Holy Ghost helps you to assess the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ, shall you understand, will also help you to touch the name of the Son. Are we getting what I'm saying? Then the name of the Son will help you with the mystery of the Father. Do we understand what I'm saying? So it's power and mystery, power and mystery, power and mystery. Let's say amen. Now the guys on Mount Zion standing with the Lamb had the name of the Father written upon their foreheads. Those guys have journeyed. Are we following what I'm saying? Those guys have journeyed. Wanting any. So now, to make a name, a whole lot of things are involved in actually making a name. Now, it is natural men who don't have value for names, you know, that just call names anyhow. I remember reading a particular story. One lady, her name is something, I've forgotten the other name, I think Rice or something, you know. So she now went to meet her dad and said, "Daddy, why did you give me that name, Rice?" The father said, "That's what I was thinking about when I heard that your mother had given birth. So I just said, give her rice." Do you understand? As in, they just gave rice. Now, Yoruba people, a little bit, they have value for names. But then, if you know the kind of name you have, then you can tell the kind of circumstances that surrounded your birth. So my dad traveled, and then by the time my dad was going to come back, my mom had given birth to a girl. That's how my younger sister was born. And then they gave her the name Abidemi. Do you understand? So, what be the meaning? Do you guess? I traveled. I was not in the house. So, by the time I got back, I saw baby. I left only mother. I called back. I saw baby. So, then, one of the names they gave me Babatunde. And I now went to go and ask that. Sorry, yo. This name. Now say, that was one man like that that died. I said, me, I'm different too. I don't. I don't understand that man. I don't know the kind of life he lives. Me, I'm different. I'm different. So they will give that name. And then sometimes you find people who answer the name Yetunde. That's how they came about that particular name also. You know, different kind of, you know, there is Ige, there is Idowu, there is Aino, all of those kind of names like that. By the time you ask, there is always a history behind those names. Shall we understand? Now, you know, the way we use names is actually still better and deeper than the way white men use names. You just see somebody, what's his name? John Carpenter. Now, the reason why they call him John Carpenter is because maybe there were many, many Johns during those particular seasons. The only way you could differentiate them was profession. So you now ask this one, which John, which Mr. John did you meet? The blacksmith. That's how he became John Smith. Do you understand? But, you know, those of us who are Yoruba, especially if God has not healed you of inferiority, you just look at that, Smith, nice name. And then your Benga, you just look at him, Benga is local. Smith is the real thing. No, your disease is here. Shall you understand? What is worrying you is in this place. A whole lot of those names are just there. They are just flat. Shall we understand? They don't really have too much of value for names. So they throw names anyhow. But God is not like that. Let's say God is not like that. And the kind of men that God has raised are also not like that. Now, one of the things I found out, Jacob gave birth to 12 sons and one daughter. Now, one thing I discovered, Jacob's family was very big. You know, Jacob married two sisters of the same father and mother. He now married their servants with it. Only Jacob can do that. Shall you understand? Even Solomon did not do that. Solomon didn't marry siblings. Our granddad Jacob was the one who did, you know, our ancestor. He did that. So he had a quite large family. Large family. Jacob Jacob wasn't using one room apartment. Do you understand? As in plenty like that. And I discovered something, that the rivalry between the two women and then the servants also reflected in the names they gave the children. So, check all of them. All the children that Jacob had, it was their mothers that named them, except the last one. So, Rachel gave birth to Benjamin, and she was dying. And then, when she finished giving birth, she called him Benoni. Benoni means a son of pain. So, it was as if maybe Jacob had not been involved in all the naming ceremony. We just come back, just cover that this one, this is his name. You know, if you check the name of all of those, you know, children, you discover that the names reflected the rivalry. God has had me, so he has now done me this one. Because my sister looked at me one kind. You know, some people's names is strife. Some people's name is different kind of names like that. Very, very interesting names. So you just find all of those. You see the rivalry showing there. But there was only one child that the father named, and that was Benjamin. So when the mother gave birth to that child, she called him Benoni, which is a child or a son of pain. But the father came and said, no, his name will not be called Benoni. His name will be called Benjamin. And Benjamin means the son of my right hand. Do we understand? So he used that name very carefully. Let's say very carefully. So now I discovered that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Benoni, Benjamin. So you can read up on the story later, you know, after now. That's Genesis 35. So I discovered something, that names in the realm of the spirit is actually a whole lot. It's a lot. Now, we were created to inherit God's name. Man was created to inherit God's name. Let's say amen. The reason why Adam was created was so that he can inherit the name of God. But of course, God will not put his name on you if you don't have his seed inside. If not, God will be naming something else. God will be putting his name on another content, the content of another person. So the whole project that happened in the Garden of Eden, you know, with the trees that were in the garden and all of that, was to help Adam journey to a particular name, where to a particular place where Adam could end up having the name of God. But of course, we know what happened in that entire project. The project got aborted, you know, suspended. Shall you understand? And then man began to answer, or man began the journey of bearing another name. Because what Satan wanted to put on man is also another, is also his own name. He wanted man to also be in his own, to also answer his own name. So when they say, let's make man in our image after our likeness. Okay, so when he's in the image and likeness, so what will he be? Shall you understand? He will answer your name. What name will he answer? He will answer your name because he's in your image and your likeness. Image and likeness together is what makes a begotten son. Shall we understand? So now, when he's a begotten son like that, that person will answer your name. So now, Satan moved into that whole, you know, arrangement because he wanted man to answer his name. And a man answered his name. I hope we know. We read this in the book of Revelation. They call that his name, the name of blasphemy. Now, that man was standing on another opposite mountain to Zion. Sure you understand? With the dragon, with his father's name also written on his forehead. Shall we get? So he was Satan's firstborn. He was the kind of person that Satan gave birth to thoroughly. And then he had his name written in their forehead, in his forehead. And of course, he's also going to make many, many people, you know, have Satan's name or that same name of blasphemy written in their foreheads. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you. Please give me back. Let's go back to that, those two verses that you put together. So when we give our life to Christ, or when we gave our life to Christ and we got born again, when we got born again, there is a place where God got us from. God brought us from a place of fellowshipping with pigs. You know, that place where the prodigal son fell into by having wandered, by wandering away from the father's house. Shall we understand? You know, Adam's state before he fell was better than our state before we got born again. Shall we are following me? Adam's state before Adam fell was better than our state before we got born again. Now, before we got born again, many of us had fallen into the hand of spirits that could not handle Adam. We had fallen into the hand of demons. We fell into the hand of elementary spirits. We fell into a particular terrain, you know, of where our fears were now being managed by some kind of spirits that would never have come close to Adam. You know, the spirit that came after Adam was Satan himself. It was Satan himself that came up. Like it wasn't even principalities and powers of darkness of this world and all of that. No, Adam already had a build that was above those ones. But Satan himself came with a wisdom, you know. And by reason of that wisdom, he brought down Adam and then brought down, you know, our great ancestor, Mama Eve, brought down Adam, brought down, because I'm learning to respect them. Sure, you understand? All these men are icons. You will see them one day. Recently, there was one man of God that was shouting on the internet. It was that day, a cookie that was telling us. The man said, I know God more than Abraham. I know God. He's a very popular apostle. I know God more than Abraham. I know God more than Abraham. So we were not talking in the house one day. Myself, Daddy, I think mommy was there, Pastor TJ. So Daddy now said, Daddy said that, you know, that in his mind, he's just playing, you know, some videos. That maybe in heaven, one angel will just say, did you see what this boy is saying? He said, Father Abraham will say, no, my name is my son. Sure, you understand? We'll see them one day. And they are all icons. They are all icons in the realm of the spirit. Are we together? So they are not people that we just call anyhow. You know, just use their name anyhow, like that. So Adam, you know, and Eve, his wife, actually fell into a terrain where even when they had fallen, after they fell, after they had died in their spirits, demons couldn't still come around them. Now, before men fell into the terrain of demonic operations, it took a while. As in, it took a long while. Men like Cain were already higher than demons. Men like Abel were higher than demons. Men like Nimrod were higher than demons. In fact, you will not see traces of demonic operations until man had fallen into idolatry. You know? So, it is around that terrain of idol worshipping. That's where demons actually reign. That's where, you know, they actually rule. Now, those are places where you can now begin to find, okay, this and this and this. And it is at that particular time, you will begin to see it in the scriptures, that the Bible recorded sicknesses. Should you understand? For man. People were not falling sick. Adam didn't die sick. He wasn't sick. You know, all those other men also didn't sick, because they had enough life in their souls. They had enough life in their bodies to actually have risen above all of those limitations. Let's say amen. But of course, we know that when we got born again, we were not there. When we got born again, we're not there. In fact, the reason why some of us got born again is, Lord, if you can heal me from this sick bed, honestly speaking, I will serve you for the rest of my life. Are you getting me? And God is like, okay. God being magnanimous will be like, go see what I like. It's a very good bargain. I will heal you, but don't forget the promise. And then he will raise you from the dead bed, and then you are fine. You are strong. You know, for some of us, it's not us. Maybe somebody very, very close to us. Lord, if you can heal my mother, if you can heal my father, if you can heal my sister, my brother, I promise you that I will never depart from you for the rest of my life. I will give my life to Christ. You know, in the face of death, you become serious. Maybe they've been pursuing you with new bed sins. You've not been taking this serious. In the face of death like this, when death is staring you in the face, you will remember God. So, and then God miraculously healed that person. The person just began to recover. You know, so I'm giving this example to show us where we were at. Or where we were positionally in the spirit when we got born again. Are we understanding? And because of that particular place where God met us when we got born again, we needed the first name. We needed the first name. Are we understanding? Let's say the first name. Now, you discover that this first name is a name that did not need any mystery for you to get it. Do we understand? That's name of the Holy Ghost. There's no mystery tied to the name. But the end of the name actually will lead you to a mystery. Do we understand? All the other mysteries, you will actually need names to, you would need, there are some mysteries that will connect a name. Mystery will connect a name. Are we understanding? But for this one, there was nothing like that. So the name of the Holy Ghost was the first thing that was given to us. And then they gave us the name of the Holy Ghost so that we can have enough stature. We can have enough build within to relate with the next mystery, which is the mystery of Christ. Let's say the mystery of Christ. So now let me ask us a question. The people that were standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion, which of these names do you think they did not have? Do you understand? They had the name of the Holy Ghost. If you check them, it's there. They had the name of the Son. If you check them, it's there. They also now had the name of the Father written in their foreheads. If you check them, you'll find it inside. Are we understanding? If we will be part of that generation, we can't afford to be deficient in any name. Any of the names. That's what Pastor was talking to us about when he was introducing, you know. And you see that small thing that Pastor just said is the introduction of Citra for the rest of the year. Except otherwise, we are led otherwise. Pastor is led otherwise. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So now, we are going up. The more we are going up, see, doors are opening to us. Doors of realms are being opened. But when doors of realm are being opened, sometimes it's good to look back again and be sure that I am not deficient anywhere. That, okay, Lord, help me. Because truly, like he said, you can ascend and not arrive. You know why you can ascend and not arrive? Because you see, the enemy of our souls is living in the air. So as you are rising like this, he's checking you. And then if he finds a loophole, you know, in this man that is ascending, my dear brother, you will just get missing in space. And that's if you don't end up being cut down to the ground in a very merciless manner. Are we getting it? So as we are, like Peter was saying in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, they will give you abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. So that means there was entrance. What God wanted to do in that particular season was to minister entrance. Let's say entrance. But what was he telling them? Add to your faith. Add. So that means, see, when door is opening, don't be quick to just push your head inside. First and foremost, ensure that you are not deficient before you go.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Sama kupai kumene bela bayi kofefia for me a kupaida. Ajujumumuni yombo bobo dini via
Holiness is not even by the place he is dwelling, it is by who he is. His holiness is not by where he has come into, or where he is living, or where he is dwelling. His holiness is his person, is who he is. So he's calling even into holiness by making holy men. Holy men. The calling of how I call men up even to my holiness is to make them holy. Is to make them holy. When they are holy, they are qualified even to be where I am. For the substance of the holiness of the Father is not by place where he's dwelling. It is by what is even inside of him. He is an holy God. He is an holy God. Not by where he's dwelling. Not by where he's staying. Not by where he is. Or by the person that he is. That he is. So as I'm calling even many up. As I'm calling many even up to this appearance. I want to make them a being of the appearance. I want to raise being of the appearance. Even being of the appearance. Even being that within them they can carry even the appearance. They can bear even the appearance. For what makes you a being of the appearance? deliverance. It's not by bringing you up even into the heaven physically. It's not by bringing you up even into heaven by vision. It's to make you even a being of the appearance, even being of heaven. For you can be a being of heaven even while you dwell even on earth. I want to put in you substances of heaven. I want to put in you substances of the appearance. I want to put in you substances of God. I want to put in you substances that makes men holy while they yet live. I want to put in you substances that make men godly while even they are still men. I want to put in you substances even that makes men worthy of the appearance even in the days of their flesh. For what makes for a man of the appearance is not by where they are even in the natural. It's about the substance that they carry. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Look within and pay attention in making, even in making yourself from within a being of the appearance. Hear the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, we are moving gradually into seasons where what will determine whether you understand what's being taught on is who you are.
Now, when they say heavenly things are going to be declared, now heavenly things that have been declared, for example, are going to be, you will hear some things that sound very weird. If somebody tells you that there is possible for you to have a goat with three heads, will you believe it? But you know it's possible to get to heaven and see an animal like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you are going to be prepared to hear heavenly things, then you must have been delivered from the limitations of earthly definitions. Do we get? So to an extent, in your heart, we are getting to times where you can't be using, you can't be relying on the ability of what is being said to fit into the confines of your brain to be able to understand it. Do you understand? You need a raising on the inside. In short, you need to have been constituted as some kind of power inside for you to be able to understand what is going to be declared. Do we understand what I'm saying? But you know, one thing that is preventing us from actually being like that is because somehow, by the time they check us, you know, not even before the throne is even very high. Do you understand? Just before men who have eyes, men God has helped. By the time they check, they discover that this one has fault. This one has fault. There is deficiency here. There's deficiency here. Now, let me ask us a question. Have we bothered? How many of us have asked, why do people not continue? Should you understand? Why is it that people fall away? Why is it that people, some of the people that brought us into the message, they are no longer even following the message. Why? Why do you think that happens? Now, sometimes there are direct events, do you understand, that are tied to some of those things. But you see, those direct events are not the reasons they left. Those direct events just revealed a deficiency somewhere that this building is faulty. Do you understand? This particular building is faulty. For example, I remember one of our sisters, very lovely person, who somehow traveled somewhere and then she got involved with a guy sexually that she, of course, is not married to. In fact, I think it was the same day she met the guy, she slept with the guy or something. Everyone, very interesting story like that. Ridiculous. So a pastor came to meet me at SOS and a pastor was talking to me that, that kind of a lady is not supposed to be like that. Why would that kind of a lady fall like that? I said, no. I said, see. I said, because he was looking at her and he was looking at her by reason of, you know, how vibrant she is in fellowship and, you know, the kind of gift of the spirit that operate through her. I said, no. I said, that's not how you measure a man. You measure a man that by the building that is inside. If the building can succumb to fornication, it was never strong. Do you understand? Now, if a building can succumb to offense, it was never strong. So, all those things, offenses that happen, things that happen here and there, all are just pointers to the fact that that building had always been deficient. So, if I sit on a chair now and the chair breaks, my sitting on the chair is not what broke the chair. My sitting on the chair just revealed the fact that the chair had never been strong before. Because the same me that sat on this chair and it broke, I will sit on another chair and it will take my weight. So what happened to that other chair that did not happen to this one? Actually, this one had never been strong. It's just that what will reveal the weakness had not yet come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What revealed the weakness had not yet come. So that's usually what happens. So when you say people fall away, read the epistles many times.
It's not today people have been falling away. Otipe. From the days of Paul, from the days of Peter, you'll be reading the epistle. You'll be seeing Paul telling people, avoid this person, avoid this person, this person, this person, this person. Paul even said he handed over some people to Satan. The people he was handing over are not unbelievers. So, share your understanding. Because by the time you read Act of Apostles, you will see some of these people following Paul. They were part of the people following him. And then you will see some of them. You will now see what some of them went back to later start teaching. Let me tell you, the reason people fall away is because of faults in their building. That is the reason. See, that is the reason. And don't say I can't fall away. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In fact, the reason why God is bringing the word is to keep us on our toes. Because you don't know. You see, the kind of thought Satan will bring that will make sense to you is going to come in your line of fault. It's going to come in, that's your line of fault. Share you get. Your fault can be in a particular thinking manner. Maybe there's a particular way you just think. Do you understand? Satan will just arrange a situation that will play to your weakness. And before you know anything, you discover that you just get up and then you just say, no, I'm not doing it again. Do you understand what I'm explaining? So now, God does not want us to be so excited that we are not whole. And then we don't have what it takes to actually survive and be safe in the new realm that God is taking us to. Doctrine of Nicolaitans, doctrine of Jezebel, all of those doctrines were doctrines peddled by people who are Christ's company that entered everlasting life. But the only reason why all those doctrines thrived is because of faults in the buildings of the people that brought those doctrines. Are we following what I'm saying? All right, so I want us to follow me very carefully. So the first name here, they call it the name of the Holy Ghost. Let's say the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, this name of the Holy Ghost, you know, our daddy has taught us, our parents have taught us, that the name of the Holy Ghost is actually the name that they give to a man who has finished the milk of God's word. And I want to say that that is the first power. Let's say power. See, power is not raising the dead and healing the sick. No. Let me tell you how they weave this power together. You see that in Hebrews chapter 6 that talks about, you know, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead. Let's say repentance from dead works. Let's say faith towards God. Let's say doctrine of baptisms. Thank you. Let's say laying on of hands. Resurrection of the dead. Eternal judgment. You see these six things. By the time you see a man that has been weaved by these six things together, what you are seeing is a power. You see that kind of a being is a power. So this power is not somebody who just says, shut up there, sit down, rise up. No. This person can repent. This powerful man, let's say powerful man, he can feel sorry. He can change his mind. He can tell you, I'm very sorry for what I did. Now, that's God's definition of a man who has power. A man who has power is not somebody who raises the dead, but finds excuse to not apologize. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can heal the sick, you can do all of those things, but for you to admit that you are wrong, you're already higher than that. You are weak. You are not powerful. Because this weaving of this power, this one has nothing to do with gifts of the Spirit. Are we understanding? This one has to do with principles that frame a person. Principles that frame a soul. So these teachings all together, when you are hearing repentance from dead works, for example, and we are hearing faith towards God, and you are hearing the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. What God is weaving together is a power that will unlock the mystery of Christ. What God is weaving together is a power. Let's say power. You remember that place in Psalm 24? Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, or you ancient doors. What question did the door ask? Who are you? And then you see that the person who wants to unlock the door is a power. He's a powerful being. And how? By the time he just started talking about it, check the way he said. He said, who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Now, these are his credentials. Power. That's what opens doors. That's what unlocks gates. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Ancient gates. Not now that we're even knocking on everlasting doors. Do you understand? Then you cannot afford that maybe in your power building, you are deficient somewhere. Share you get somewhere you have 1K leg at some point, you know, a whole lot of things are just wrong somehow. Because the truth is, where we are going to, we may not really have time to come back and say, let's come and start laying some of these things. So we have to lay them now. Let's say amen. And don't be quick to say, I don't need it. You know, milk is the most easily despised aspect. Share you understand of the message. When they talk about milk, somebody just like, appearance. But you know the reason you won't profit with the appearance? You know the Lord can appear and you can't make anything out of that appearance. It's possible. You just be there. You are hearing everything. But when some people are saying, wow, the Lord came to us. You know, sometimes, have you been in a place where Pastor Tokwe, maybe they said Pastor Tokwe should come and minister. And then Pastor Tokwe now comes and says that, wow, last night prayer meeting was a visitation. I saw the Lord. You just be like, oh, where? From where? I was blessed, yes, but to see the Lord. But what he said was actually real to him. She understand? So that means appearance can come and you can miss it. You know why? Because there is deficiency in your building. So we have to ensure that our building is intact. We have to begin to check the names. We have to begin to check the powers. Because to enter into the mystery of the Father, you must be a powerful being to be able to get there. So power, first power, Holy Ghost. Shall you understand? Power. Let's say power. So when you see a man like Stephen standing and then that man is talking, that's a power. Power. That's why heaven opened over him. Because that guy is not just somebody who learned how to receive things from God. You know, milk is not how to receive things. She understand? When they say faith towards God now, the next thing that comes to the mind of most of us is, faith towards God is, you know, how you can, yes, name it and claim it. Who told you that that's faith towards God? If I let me tell you, that's like the last strand of faith towards God after the rest had been lost. Faith towards God is much more than that. Are we together? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is more than that thing that just got you born again. Is much more than that. Let me say something a little about it, and then I will proceed. Now, when we say faith, let's say faith. Do you know that I need faith to relate with you? Do you know? What's your surname, sir? Sir? So, his surname is Amukamara. My own surname is Ogunoye. Do you understand? By the time we plot on the map where we all came from, is very far. Now, the only thing that makes me call him my brother is faith. So, if I'm deficient in that area, it will reflect in how I relate with you. It will reflect. See, number one, I will not be able to believe God's report that you are my brother. I will be relating with you with suspicion. I will not trust you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And then there's a way I will just be doing things one kind like that. You just be wondering, what kind of a brother is this? You know? And I'll just say, oh, brother, the only thing that will make me refer to you as a brother is name. I will call you brother. I will not behave brother to you. Do you understand? And you see, we have many things like that too. Plenty in our midst. In our midst. Why? Faith towards God. He's deficient. Let's say faith towards God. So faith towards God is not faith to claim things and get things and move mountains. No. By the time you check what people even use this faith towards God to do in Hebrews chapter 11, you discover that claiming things and receiving things and moving things is not, as in, is maybe just like one strand out of the whole bunch of what faith, you know, towards God can do. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. So we relate one with another by faith. I was talking to some of the people living in my house and we're talking about brothers, brethren. Shall you understand? Now, when we say brethren, now this brethren is not charity brethren. I'm talking about brethren, just, you know, normal brethren. What we call love to all the saints. Those saints are brethren at a level. Do we understand what I'm saying? Now, who are they to you, for example? Now, you know, the same way you have natural siblings, they are also your spiritual siblings. But you know, that thing doesn't enter the mind of most of us. You just see your sister like this. The only thing that is going on in your mind is marriage. It's like the only profit that can come from that relationship is marriage. If it is not marriage, what are we doing? Do you understand what I'm saying? My dear brother, there is fault in your building. If you check Acts of Apostles, you check the epistles, you won't smell that thing from it. And they were not relating like that. There's a particular way they related. Why? Because there was too much faith in the heart to relate one with another. Should we understand what I'm saying? Too much faith. So some of those things sometimes that, you know, we just find, this is milk deficiency again. This one. This power. Something is wrong with it. this power cannot light a bulb. Are you understanding? Something is wrong. You can't enter everlasting life like that. See, by the time you are going to be done, even the adversary, before the throne talks, we'll just begin to point out many, many things and tell you that, look at this. This one is not correct. Sin has informed how we relate. Is not righteousness that informs it. Sin. You know what I mean by sin? Is what informs how we relate. I don't want to talk to her. If I talk to her now, they will now say, I don't want trouble. So by the time you look at it, what is informing your posture is sin. What is informing your posture is not righteousness. But you see, the reason why righteousness is not informing that posture is because there is already a deficiency in the beginning. And that thing is faith. Some of us don't know how what it means to be brothers and sisters. He is my brother. She is my sister. You see that small thing alone is already a problem. You see that thing? We don't understand it. Somehow it doesn't cross our mind that what God wants on the face of the earth is a family. And that your spiritual sibling is not less connected to you like your natural sibling. Some of us can put our heads on the ground like this for our blood. We can't do it for brethren. But you see, that thing is not charity. What I'm talking about is still milk of God's word. Let's say milk of God's word. Let's say milk of God's word. Okay, let me ask you a question. Everybody in Acts of Apostles went sold their things. They brought the proceeds. For who? Is it for family members? At the time the church was doing that, their eyes were still blind. Their eyes were still closed. They still didn't know what the gospel of Christ was like. In fact, the person that was going to break the gospel of Christ was somebody that was even still persecuting Christians all over the place. Agabus came prophesied, signified by the Spirit, that there was going to be a famine. All the believers dropped what they had to ensure that all their brethren, not natural family members, are you getting what I'm saying? All their brethren were catered for during that particular famine. Imagine somebody who sold family inheritance for brethren's sake. Yet, it's not yet Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not Christ. Now, sometimes, for us to know, how far gone we are, low, as in how far falling we are, when we hear milk being taught, we think it's high. Ah, that one is high. Sure, you understand? Because our souls are operating far, far below milk. We are operating, at a particular level. There's a place where we are. We are just floating somewhere there. But we will not profit. Honestly, we can hear gospel of Christ. We can mount it. We can do some obediences there. But you will not have what is called prosperity in that mystery. If something is wrong with the constitution that milk is supposed to put inside this hole. Shall we understand? And you see all those things we read in Hebrews chapter 6. It's not the spirit they are doing it to. It's the soul. It's the soul that has to learn to repent. Your spirit has no need of repentance. But it's the soul that has to repent. The soul is the person who has to acknowledge, I'm sorry, repent. And you will not just say, okay, because I repented. I remember those days when we used to repent a lot. We used to repent. So what about now? So you don't repent anymore. Are you understanding what I'm saying? No. How we know you took milk well is that you repented then and you are still repenting now. Because that thing is something you take that becomes a part of your makeup. Because you will repent. You sit on the throne, my brother. You keep repenting. And then you keep repenting. John was writing. John said, if we say we have no sin. John already said, we are writing to you. He now said, if we say we have no sin. After he has said, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. If we say we have no sin. So that means that even at that height, repentance is still there. And what are you repenting of? You are repenting of the gap that exists between you and God. That's the gap. So what covers that gap is repentance. But that is not the first place where you begin to hear repentance. You must have started hearing about repentance from the milk of God's word. Let's say milk of God's word. So repentance is ability to turn. Ability to acknowledge your wrong and repent. I like the Yoruba word for it. Ironukwiwada. That means I can think and turn. Shall you understand? I can think and then turn. Now, if you cannot think, then your ability to turn will be greatly hampered. The prodigal son, at what point did he go back home? When he sat down to think. That was when he now went back home. May Satan not rob us of ability to think. Shall you understand? And there are many, many things to think about. Let's say amen. A church in the book of Revelation, Jesus was talking to them. Jesus said, remember from where you fell and repent. Jesus didn't put repentance before remembrance. He put remembrance before repentance. Because there are some things, if you can call them to mind, you will change your ways. You will change. He said, remember, then repent. That was what happened to the prodigal son. He just suddenly remembered. In my father's house, I wasn't like this. Even in our downtime seasons, it was never like this. He thought about it and then he repented, and then he started his journey back home. Let's say amen. So remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of that. Can you see what is about to cause this church candlestick? Their candlestick is going to be taken away. Why? Repentance. Say repentance. So milk is not something we should commonize and just say, okay, milk. The reason we need milk, Adam didn't need milk. Are we understanding? Adam did not need milk because of his stature. But our building got demolished beyond Adam's building. So So we fell into a particular realm where they now need milk to actually raise us. So, and then after we have done milk, then we can now do very well in the gospel of Christ. Are we together? And I'm not talking to us because we have not been taught the mystery of Christ. We have, you know, in fact, many of you sitting down are better preachers than I am. Sure, you understand? But what I'm saying is for prosperity's sake. Let's say prosperity. Let's say prosperity. And why? Because of where we are going. And we are going far. We are going far. Say to the person sitting beside you, we are going far. If you are going far, you have to be sure that you have enough to actually last the journey. And one of it are these things we are talking about. Is this thing we are talking about today? Let's say amen. All right. So it says, therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Uh-huh. So that means perfection is the next realm after Christ, right? Now, you see that perfection is actually the heavenly life. Let's say amen. Amen. That's the heavenly life. So living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Now, it now says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Let's say repentance. Then let's say faith toward God. Then let's say the doctrine of baptisms. Let's say laying on of hands. Let's say resurrection of the dead. Let's say eternal judgment. So we are going to be looking at these things a whole lot. God will help us. You know, we are going to be taking it from different angles because we cannot afford. Let me tell you what's at stake. A generation must arise that will disobey the devil at once. Are we following me? Let's say disobey the devil at once. And they are not 300. They are not 200. They are not 1,000. At least, we are looking at 144,000 that will all disobey the devil at the same time for the dragon to drop. And they will do that by the strength of the gospel. I don't mean, you know, you serve God, then you now drop and die, and then you go. Once you are dead, you are not part of that generation. Do you understand? So I'm talking about a generation that will all be alive at the same time. And then that will disobey the devil at the same time. Now, you see that thing, eh? Somehow, just there's a way it makes my heart feel. And I'm just praying that, Lord, open the door of churches to this message so that our number can increase. You don't understand what I'm saying? The number increasing is not that, okay, we have brethren everywhere, you know. I just call our brethren in Canada. What's the point? See, there's a number we are going to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I discovered that Satan fighting this message, do you understand, is to reduce the number. One. Then number two, Satan also watering down the intensity of the message as he's going down generations is to also reduce the number. At some point, may we not become so large, but yet thin. As you know, we can become so large. We are so many, but then we don't have weight in the spirit. And then by the time they check us, they discover that the deficiency is something that began with milk. Wow. It's milk. Mommy Helen was saying it some time ago. She was talking about the fact that, I think she was talking to Pastor Mika, that this generation, would they be able to handle things? Are we sure we're able to raise them the way God raised us? And then sometimes, you know, maybe speaking with two people and all of that, you know, and then we are talking. You know, we hype ourselves a lot. But the truth is, we are not prospering the way we should prosper. And the sad part is, we don't even know that we are not prospering. We don't know. Now, let me tell you, like I was talking about siblings the other time. I remember when I was in OAU. I think probably I'll share this story here before. I can't remember. There's a friend of mine. I just went out of my room and then I went to the car park. And then I met somebody. And the person told me that your brother was beaten by a snake. Your brother is in the health center. I said, snake. I was really agitated. Then shortly after, I just saw my brother. He said, it's not me. He now said, it's another person. Now, that other person is my friend. He's my brother too. So, when he told me that it's that other person, I just said, thank God. Do you understand what I'm saying? let's say, Okpeo. I just said, thank God. And then, I now saw the person who gave me the news. The person now said, have you gone to the hospital? Your brother is in the hospital. I said, no, I just saw my brother now. That nothing happened to my brother. That he said it's another person. That
thank God is not my brother. The person now looked at me and said, thank God. I said, yes, thank God is not my brother. I said, but I'll go and check the person. You know, as I left him like this, the Holy Ghost smote me in my heart. That what do you mean? It's your brother that a snake beats. And you should not be less concerned about him than you are with your biological brother. Now, you see that teaching is not faith of the son. You see that teaching is milk. Let's say milk. Some of us have very strong family ties and they are good. But your family ties should not be stronger than brethren ties. No, that's a fault already in your building. Because you know what it means? It means that for you, the natural has more weight than actually the spiritual. You know, Jesus has generations. There are two kinds of generations that he has. He has natural generations, like natural Israel nowadays, you know, that you see. There's one particular pastor who's a friend of the ministry. Amen. Okay. He went to Jerusalem some years ago. And then the person leading him about, his name is Itamar. So he took him to the Mount of Transfiguration. Nigerians have built church on that mountain. She understand? Nigerians, they built church there. There's revivalists there. She understands? So when you are going there like this, Badura! He's always here. We are looking for. See how Satan has treated us. Every other person, people come from all over the world. They come to that place. Nobody built sanctuary there. It's Nigerians. That this place is a holy ground where Jesus and Moses and Elijah appear. Are you understanding? So this guy took him there and just took him on the mountain and looked at him and said, okay, so this is where the thing happened. Is Mount Tabor. Jesus was here, Moses was here, Elijah was here. And then the guy just went to one corner and started smoking. So he just discovered that this guy was disconnected from everything, that he was thrilling everybody. Then he called him and said, come, sorry, Itamar, I want to ask a question. He said, like all these things that we are doing, you guys don't see any sense in it. You know what he said? He said, Jesus is my brother. Jesus is your God. Too bad you worship my brother. Now, shall you see reasoning? Now, those guys were actually of Jesus' genealogy in the flesh. But Jesus has another genealogy by faith. Shall you understand? Let's say by faith. Now, for him, the faith seed is more real than this natural seed. He has another seed, another generation that faith. Because faith for God is a gene inside God by which God can reproduce his own kind. That's why God didn't put himself in a place where natural intelligence can reach him. If you look at this whole universe and you look at the way everything is structured, you would think that the person that will be able to assess God will be somebody whose mind is vast. It's not so. God brought himself so low to a point where you don't need intelligence to access him. In fact, sometimes the more intelligent you are, the more disadvantaged you are. He just brought himself to a place where hearts can connect him. Can you just connect me by faith? Then we can start talking. Just believe. Just believe. So you see that faith is also a gene inside God that also has his own generation that it produces. Now for us, what is real to God must be real to you. So if Jesus Christ, you know, is moving, doing a whole lot of things, you know, with the Gentiles, you know, is the when the fullness of the Gentiles coming, that's when God will now touch the Jewish people. Do you understand? But God is not bound by them. God is not looking at them and he's saying, I'm helpless. So why are you helpless? Is Israel? Is Israel? They are the people that Jesus. No. For God. Because God is a spirit. Do we understand? And those that will worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there are things that are real to him. Now, in the same way, people that the same faith seed gave birth to you, shall you understand, are not to be treated lesser than your brothers, than your natural brother, or lesser than your natural sister. Sure, you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, that is part of faith towards God. This thing is not faith of the son. This thing is the milk of God's word. Are we understanding what I'm saying? That's why all of them could have all things in common. You know, now we have faith of the son people. We don't have all things in common. Come on, okay. Nibu. Sure, you understand? So, you know, there are certain things you just read in the scripture. You just know that we are not here. We are not here. Now, one of the things the milk will put inside is honesty. You won't lie. Do we understand? We can say a whole lot of things, but what I'm looking at is prosperity. Let's say prosperity. Prosperity is multiplication. And you will bear plenty life fruits because of very solid building that you are entering the next allocation with. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. So they said, let's go on to perfection. Not laying again foundation. Now they call this foundation. Let's say foundation. So this foundation is a very powerful foundation such that if this foundation is deficient, every other thing they are going to be building on it will not be able to stand the test of the next thing that is coming upon it. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So God will help us a whole lot in Sitra. Shall you understand? This year, we are going to be looking at all those things one by one. Honestly speaking,
We will look at new birth. Let's say new birth. What happened to you when you got born again? You know, I was amazed. Recently, a sister just came to me and said, I've just been feeling like maybe I'm not born again. How? Like, how? Really? How? But it was a big deal for her. Shall you understand? This lady prophesies in meetings. Do you understand? But somehow, there's still doubt about the new birth. You know, sometimes you can jam some people. And then by the time you meet them, and then they talk to you about the new birth, you'll be looking at yourself, that, I'm born again. Maybe I'm not born again. You know, there are some ministers that you can be under the administration. You will still come out for another altar call. By the time they finish preaching, by the time they are done preaching like this. So, in case you are here, I remember in one meeting, somebody said, there is pseudo-Christian. And he said, there are some people who look like Christians, but they are not Christians. And then by the time he finished teaching, come and see people. It was a national conference meeting, though. And some of the people that came out to come and get born again, we came to schools the next day. National schools. I was just thinking, but I knew that most of these people I'm looking at here, they're all born again. Somehow, something is just missing there in their foundation. Are we getting what I'm saying? Now, you can be there. You can be here like this. I just hearing all the wow, 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 wow. But when you get home, some thoughts that deal with you on your own. Are you even sure you're born again, sir? Okay, when did you get born again? When? You know, some people will tell you that the date or the time. Tell me the date or the time, or it never happened. You will now stand and be like, I shall know I'm born again. Do you understand? So now, all it takes for you to get born again is to believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead. That's all. That's all. Bad things I used to do, I do them no more. It's not a test that you're born again. Do we get? There are many bad things you can stop without the new birth. Yeah. If something has dealt with you before, there are some things you can just change on your own if you have sense. But it doesn't mean you are born again. If you used to drink and it has damaged your internal organs and you get to the hospital and they tell you that if you don't stop drinking, you have just 3 months to live, you will change. The fact that you stop drinking does not mean you are born again. That you stop smoking does not mean you are born again. That you stop womanizing does not mean you are born again. Are we understanding? You know, you'll go and womanize and carry one girl that you're not supposed to go and carry. I remember one guy like that who told me one story. Took one girl to a hotel. Immediately the girl hits the bed like they bam, the girl disappeared. The guy became holy. Do you understand what I'm saying? The guy became holy. As in, when I say holy, the guy became holy. In fact, there was a recent story that happened. One of, you know, places where we used to go and minister, Pastor Ayo. So the pastor of the fellowship was just ministering to people. He just saw two people. He just felt like, these two people, you know, it's like something is happening between them. There's no right. So, but he wasn't married at the time. So he told Pastor about it. Pastor said, let the two of them come and see me. So the lady came the previous first day. And then by the time the lady, Pastor just confronted that, Bas, you are sleeping with so-so person. He's wrong. But Pastor dealt with the matter. Well, the lady cried on the, inside that same place, called the guy, broke up with the guy. I think probably the lady had done like 5 abortions there about for the guy. They are not married. Called the guy, broke the whole thing. Everything ended. Good. Pastor said, you wanted to see the guy the next day. Pastor called the guy. The guy showed up. The guy was just forming that guy. Just sat down. Pastor was talking to him. Just looking. What was it? Pastor said, okay, so do you know so-and-so person? I don't. Yes. I think I just used to see her in fellowship, but. Pastor said, well, and I have an information I think can help you, but since you guys are not close, there's no problem. So, well, the guy was all like, so are you finished? Can I be going? Pastor was like, did you come here to come and fight me? I'm your friend, though. I just said I should help you. The guy was just angry. Somehow, because the guy could connect the fact that the lady broke up with him with the fact that the lady went to pastor's house. So pastor was just looking at the guy. Pastor just said, okay, no problem. You can go. He said, well, let me just say it, but it's not going to be of any benefit to you since both of you are not close. He said, well, the lady came yesterday, and then we spoke, and she confessed some things to me. She said she has not told anybody before that actually that girl is HIV positive. This guy that was about going just sat down. And then the guy was just looking like, He said, no now. He said, you can go. Shebi, you guys don't know each other. And then you are not a doctor. Are you a doctor? Can you help her? That's how the guy was just looking like, Pastor, what did you say? He said, it's nothing. Just forget about it. That just health, something. I will call some of the ladies in doctors and nurses that we have so that they will know what the guy will be doing. That's how this guy just started crying. Pastor was like, but you guys are not, there's nothing between the two of you. He said, Pastor, are you a bit too much? Yeah. That's how the guy sat down. This guy started sweating. This guy started crying. You know, mucus. Everything was just, Pastor was like, no, now you can't. Why is he? I don't understand. What is happening? That's how the guy started crying. Oh. Then the guy now confessed. By the time the guy finished confessing, Pastor dealt with the guy. As in, dealt with the guy. Told him he's not thinking. He's a very foolish man. You know, by the time Pastor was done, Pastor now said, the guy does not have HIV. The guy did not believe Pastor. I understand it. The next time they told them saw in fellowship, the lady just said, ah, brother, God bless you. You understand? Now, that was a near-death experience. Let's say near-death experience. That was a near-death experience. Now, so you know, you can have near-death experience like that, and then you can change. You just become okay, but it doesn't mean you are born again. The new birth is still deeper than that. Are we understanding what I'm saying? The new birth is you using the faith gene that God makes available when you meet a preacher. Are we understanding? To become a new creature. That's the new birth. The faith gene that God makes available when you meet a preacher, you use it to become a new creature. You believe the testimony of God concerning his son. Let's say amen. And you are born again. Honestly speaking, you can be born again like that. Get up and go and lie again. It does not change the fact that you are born again. Now, does God like lying? No. Are we together? Honestly speaking, as you begin to grow, the way God wants you to grow, you discover that lying is not profitable. Honestly speaking, lying even makes you look very stupid. Sure, you understand? Because either you like it or not, the truth will come out. Let's say amen. When the truth now comes out, you now discover that of all men, you are actually the most stupid person. Do you get? So lying makes you look stupid, and there is no profit you ever get by lying. So the intention of God is that you will grow like that as a new creature. You won't grow as an Ekiti boy. And you won't grow as an Igbo man. You won't grow as a Hausa person. You see all those pride we have in our nationality, everything will melt. The only reason we are proud in those things, those places where we came from, is because we don't know what it means to be a new man. We don't know what it means to be a new creature. We don't know what it means to be born again. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I like the word new creature. They said the Greek word for word transliteration says that it's a new species, the kind that has never existed on earth before. Now, that's you in your spirit by reason of the new birth. Are we getting what I'm saying? And then the Lord now expects that. Now, there are many, 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 many people like that who are now born again. And then they are going to be your brothers, your sisters, sitting with you in church. You see, all of them are your siblings. Let's say siblings. Let's say siblings. If you see your brother and your sister as your sibling, it will change the way you see them. Am I correct? It will change the way you see them. As in, you just cover that everything just changes somehow. Your relationship with them becomes, your relationship with them ceases to be an official relationship. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Sister, oh, how are you doing? Are you going my way? You can join. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No, you get genuinely concerned for them. Yet, you are pure in that concern. It's a sibling relationship. His brother, that's your sister. That is your brother. Many of us don't understand brother, sister. You want to jump to husband, wife. Do you understand? Paul said, don't we have a right to lead about a sister, a wife? So it's not wife that comes first. Number one, understand her as a sister. Sister first, then wife. That means if the person is never my sister, I can't wife her. Are you understanding? So you can't marry somebody that's not your sister. I just met one lady in my place of work. Cute. She knows how to talk. In fact, by the time you see her dressing on point, it's not those people that are just dressing like we are going to heaven, we are going to heaven. Are you understanding? As in, this one understands the fact that we'll do it before we do heaven. You get. And then, you know, so many brothers, you just see them, they just want to use conversion. Do you understand? They'll just look, if I tell Pastor Lady now that this is the person God is leading me to, Kasala will burst. Okay, no problem. Just tell the lady that there is one meeting we used to have. You can be coming. Don't worry. The lady is saying, the place is far. I'll come and pick you. There's no problem. In fact, I can even order right for you. I'll just bring you and take you back. And the lady says, wow! So the person will just come and then somehow will just engineer a meeting. So Pastor Lady is saying, I have not seen you before. Yes, my name is Stephanie. Do you understand? And you know, they used to have one kind of name like that. Your name is not Bukola? No. Do you understand? Their name is always, that's Stephanie Lucy. Are you getting what I'm saying? All those kind of stuff. So just, my name is this. And then, wow, that's nice. And then the guy will tell you, okay, so were you blessed today? And then the guy will be like, the lady will be like, yes, I understood, but there are some things I did not understand. You will now become a preacher. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You now begin to see, actually, when pastor was saying this, this is what he was saying, this is what he was saying. Do you understand? See, honestly speaking, it's because your intentions are not pure. You will now talk, and then the lady will be like, I don't understand. In fact, what you are saying is even confusing me the more, because I don't get what you are saying, because motive is not pure. What you are doing, you are not doing it for the Lord. You are doing it for yourself. Then next time, okay, don't worry. Okay, you didn't understand it. Get the message. Listen to it again. Then come next month. I'm sure they will shed more light. And then gradually, so that the day you come and meet pastor, that the Lord is leading me. To who? Sister Lucy. Do you understand? And then pastor will now be able to say that, okay, she's been following, I think. God knows what you did. You yourself, you also know what you did. Do you understand? But if God really loves you, let's say amen. Let's say love. The person will just come for meeting like that, bass, and just follow the Lord and forget you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's salvation. The person will just come and say, hey, I've never understood this thing. Wow! So there's more to Christianity than this. Wow! Sure, you get. And then, that's all. Sister, so how is everything? No. Don't worry. We'll see at work on Monday. Monday, long. And then you guys are seen at work. And then by the time you are seeing the person is playing the message. The person is not even waiting for you to follow. And then the person is looking up. So when is the next Citra meeting? Okay, so time. Okay, no problem. I'm already there. You know, at that particular time, if you are not sincere, your heart will begin to feel threatened. That, hey, and this guy is just following without me like this. Because at the end of the day, the end of your follow-up should be follow me. Are you getting what I'm saying? But somehow, this lady has just seen Jesus. And then she's going. Now, that's God actually saving you from wahala. Let's say problem. God forbid that the person you marry, you are the only instructor of the person. The day you make a mistake, nobody will be there to help you. God forbid. God will help us in the name of Jesus. So, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the new birth. Let's say the new birth. Let's say new creature. So, every one of you now, let me talk to some of my younger ones. Share, you understand? Let's say new creature. Say new creature. So, when you get born again, you are new. Say, I am new. So, by the time you get to school, you know, you are surrounded with a lot of old people in school. Here you get very old people. Sometimes on the street, you just see them old people. When you see people fighting each other, bam, 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 I'm for a year. It's oldness that's worrying them. Do you get? But you are new. You are new. Somebody goes to somewhere, steals something that doesn't belong to the person. You know, the realization that you are new can actually stop you from doing certain things. Just to know that I am a new person. Now, many of us don't know we are new. That's why we still run after things that are old or things that defy those who are old. So you are new. And that newness is not in your body. If I'm new, then why do I still have sky in this place? No, your body is not yet new. But a time is going to come that your body will be new. Are we understanding? But for now, you are new in your spirit. That's the most important. That's the most essential part of your being. Then the desire of God is that newness will now leave your spirit and now enter into your soul. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you see, that newness in your spirit is very high, is newness at a height. So to prepare you to now receive the newness in your spirit, in your soul, they have to first teach you some things. And they call those things the milk of God's word. Let's say the milk of God's word. And that milk of God's word, what did I say is going to frame? It's going to frame a power. Shall you understand? Power. Power of the earth that is now ready to lift. Do we understand what I'm saying? What did I call it? Power of the earth that is ready to lift. What actually makes you lift is Christ. But of course, they have to prepare you to get out. They have to prepare you to jet out. Pastor Leke says something at anamnesis. And I really like that analogy. Pastor Leke said, if you are born again, you are not fit to live on this earth. You know, in fact, Pastor Leke is a very powerful preacher. That was the first thing he said when he was going to preach. Everybody was all looking at him like, you know, different kinds of people that we had, you know. And then he said, because you are new, every other thing around you is old. He said, actually, this world is a cemetery. So now what God wants to do is to lift you from that cemetery, not make you build mansions inside it. Should you understand? Imagine you're just changing cars, you know, from cemetery A to cemetery B to cemetery C. Do you understand? You are just living in the abode of the dead. Share you get. But what God is saying is that we better get out of this place because this world is so bad. I don't want to save it. I'm destroying it. So what God wants to destroy is what Satan wants to make our permanent residence. And you see many believers, new people, and the thing that is making you cry is the thing, same things that makes old people cry. I just cry, oh God, when? You know, I don't like it. Sometimes when I hear God of righteousness, people worry about husbands. I'm like, that means where you are in your soul is not so far from where dead people live. Because it's that same thing you will hear from a banker who doesn't know the hope of eternal life. Ibo Matiro Konsin, who will marry me? Age is already going. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No, what should bother you? Talk like those who have life. What should bother you? Now, how does a new person handle that challenge? Most of the time, you don't see it. And the reason you don't see it is because somewhere, what milk is supposed to first put inside the soul, bass, that realization that I am new is missing. That thing is missing. You find people who are married and then they don't have children and then they now cry. When they now say, oh yeah, if those people who are here, you are pregnant, you're expecting, can you come out for prayers? You now be seeing people that got married last week, already pregnant. Are you understanding? I see you're just looking at people like that. And then you now sit down. You now be counting years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No child. You now break down and start crying. Something is wrong with you. I'm sorry, but I just need to be very factual with us. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. You are new. Can you handle? Am I saying that you shouldn't feel it? Of course you will. But can you handle it like a new creature? That's what I'm saying. Do we understand? Can you handle that challenge like a new creature? Otherwise, you don't have a testimony. What's your testimony? No, what's your holiness? So what makes you different from somebody who is outside? I'm not talking spirit. I'm talking soul. The same thing that makes them sorrow is also making you sorrow. Then where is your newness? Do we get what I'm saying? So now, many of those things, just find them inside building. Nowadays, we find sisters doing head count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ah! I know brothers, so. Kai. Oh, it's like, we import our brothers from outside. You understand what I'm saying? As in, that shouldn't even bother. Leave Jesus to bother about that. Yeah. Pastor said God can raise stone. And of course, you don't want God to raise grass. It's stone that you will marry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's stone. It's not that God will now look at that and say, okay, babe, do you understand? You now do head count. Do head count. Where are all the brothers? Ah! Kai. Then you now see the same person in another meeting. We now raise hand. Must we marry? Something is wrong. That thing is coming from somewhere. Shall you understand? You're already taking thoughts for your life, and you shouldn't do that. Leave God to worry about that. See, when we understand what it means to be a new creature, you will understand the fact that our journey is very far. You now understand why we are not doing well. Christ, gospel, precepts, accurate, everything, analysis, correct, but life deficient. And then somehow we discover that we are not bearing the kind of fruit we should bear. Yet we are going higher. As in, how do we want to do it? How do we want to do it? At the Canada Singles meeting, I was just listening and then I was really blessed. So I was talking with Daddy and I told Daddy, I said, one of the people that blessed me the most in that Canada meeting was Mommy Kadian. Mommy Kadian said something, my mind had never gone there before. She said, a third child. I don't want to go this way. Let me just say this one and stop. She said their third child was actually adopted. She said it's not because they couldn't give birth. They already had two girls. They adopted the last one. And the boy knows he's adopted. And he doesn't feel out of place. It's okay. So they adopted him. She said they had already decided before they got married that they were going to adopt a child. She now said what shocked her the most was in the class, where because the people adopt children every day. And then there are classes like that, that's maybe like 100 people are coming for adoption. So they'll put you in different classes. In her own class, herself and Pastor Hans were the only heterosexual couples that were there. The rest of the people were homosexuals. And they came to adopt children. What kind of a child or what kind of children do you think they will raise? Imagine a boy who grows up in a house. Daddy is a boy. Mommy is a boy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And probably caught them doing stuffs. What outlook to life do you think that boy will end up having? So out of like 23 people that were there, 22 homosexual couples. Do you understand? Then herself and Pastor Hans were the only heterosexual couples. She now said something. She said, it's not everybody that will give birth. Then she said another thing. She said, stop thinking that this whole marriage thing is all about you. As she said that particular statement, something just opened up in my mind. I'm just like, wow, we are too selfish sometimes in our approach. Now, some of the children that those homosexual couples raise will be the people that will trouble many of the children we are raising. Because they will live in the same world. They will meet in the same place. Shay, you understand what I'm saying? So I was now talking to Daddy about it. And Daddy was like, Mike, that those two people, that's Pastor Kadian and Pastor Hans. He said, I know that Mommy was telling him that he knows, that they know that flock will be safe under their hand. Do you understand? Because their outlook to life will be, you are not thinking, what will I get from this? No, it's what will Jesus get? So she was just thinking that she thinks more believers need to adopt to be able to rescue. Those children didn't know anything. That's an entire generation entering into the hands of wrong people. Shall you understand? But you will see somebody, they'll be, I must carry my own child. Even God cannot even do that one with me. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then somehow, I'm just like, there is a problem somewhere. There's a problem somewhere. So the things that bother old people should not bother you. If you are new, now this is just new bets. that I am a new creature. That thing should, if that thing sits in your spirit, you know, now I'm not talking about demonic operation. I'm not talking about somebody coming to oppress you at night. I know that's not what I'm talking about. I'm now talking about how this thing relates to our journey, how this thing relates to our progression in understanding. So as a new person, you shouldn't sit down and then you are working maybe an oil and gas company. And then the thoughts bothering you is also bothering all the other guys in your office that are not born again. So then you now say you have journey. Where did you journey to? Do you understand? Now, if you say you are really journeying, you are supposed to journey to a place where some thoughts can't assess you. The kind of thoughts bothering you is what will tell us how far you have journeyed. Imagine the kind of thoughts bothering Daddy Oyegoke. The kind of thoughts bothering Pastor Emeka, they are not thoughts that bother people. The reason why some of these issues now bother ministers is because people are bothered by them. And sometimes ministers just look at people's faces and then you just know that, Kai, I can't tell them what is in me, what is here. They will now calm down and now minister. Do you understand what I'm saying? Daddy met one particular sister, like that, one of her sisters. She's quite elderly. She's in her 30s. And Daddy said, don't worry, God will bring husband. She told Daddy, I don't want a husband, I want to become a son. Daddy said that thing struck his spirit. And Daddy said, watch her. She won't become lesser than a son. He said, when you see somebody who has risen above that thing, I'm not talking about people who pretend. Sure, you understand? You know, there are some people who can now look at it and say, okay, I don't want anybody, but you are pretending. You are still not okay. Sure, you get. That's not what I'm saying. If it's bothering you, confess that it's bothering you, but trust God that you will be raised above that border. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So thoughts that bother dead people should not bother you. New. When they say new, all things, behold, all things have become new. Do you know the truth? You will soon enter into a sphere of life where you discover that all the things that bothered you, that did not allow you to follow God, they were all lies. You now be looking at it like, it's because I did not have this one, I did not have this one. They will now tell you that, okay, so where are those things? Imagine they gave you, they were never there. Imagine they gave you an opportunity to live weird body for a while and then use that body to change so that you can enter into an estate that will become permanent. While you are now inside the body, you couldn't acquire too much of change because of things that will not follow you to the new estate. So by the time you now enter the new estate, everything bothering you, everything has disappeared. They are not there. But your state is already permanent by reason of those things bothering you. Sure, you understand? You see that you are not wise, actually. Now, the essence of the gospel of Christ is to raise us above those things. Those are the lines of the gospel. To raise us above those things. But first and foremost, it will leverage on a realization, an understanding that milk of the word has put in the soul that I am a new creature. Let's say new creature. You know, if they bring your spirit out, the fact that you don't have a job is not the bother of your spirit. You know why? New. It's new. Not having money is not the bother of new creature. Will new creature take car to the petrol, to the filling station and buy fuel? Yes! Let's say amen. Uh-huh. But not having enough money to even do that is not enough to make him worry. That I'm now thinking, hey, in fact, where I'm like, I'm just plotting. Hey, who will I call? Hey, I'm already owing this person 500. I'm already owing this person. No. That's how old people think. That's how old creatures think. That's how they behave. Let's say amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Are we together? So, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it's possible for you to be born again and not know when. I hope we know. Just the same way a woman gets pregnant and she did not know exactly at what point she took in. So life can start without your consciousness. Because our consciousness many times is too dull to pick life at a very high degree. Do we understand? So you can be born again and then you don't know. Like I came out for altar call many times because I didn't know I was born again. Because as far as I was concerned, I was taught that if you get born again, this one will stop. But all those things, number one, I wasn't even doing all the obvious big things. Sure, you understand? It's just small lie here to come out of trouble. Are you understanding? And then small lie there. Those were the things I was doing. So, but when I got born again, I was born again, even though some of those little character, you know, those character faults were still there. Are we getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So it didn't change. That doesn't change the fact that you are born again. And sometimes you find somebody, the person will just catch you. Maybe you just got angry with somebody. You now spoke in a way that is not nice. You spoke to somebody. And you call yourself a Christian. I remember those things used to make me cry in secondary school. I'll just go to my bed. I'll begin to go, oh God, I've disgraced you. Do you understand? When I now see the person the next time, I will now be shy. Because the person already caught me angry with somebody. Sure you get. So now all those things are not strong enough to invalidate the new birth. Let's say amen. And because you are new, let's say I'm new, no demon can touch you. I hope you understand. Because all demons are old. Let's say amen. In fact, they are not just all old. They are on the bad side of old. They are already on the discarded side of old. There are some things that are old that God is still using. But these ones are old and they are already discarded. Old toti baje. And they are already done away with. So all those demons. So somebody is saying that one witch is telling you, I will kill you. It cannot kill you. Do you understand? Because the technology that is working inside you is the technology that produced the witch. Do you understand? When I say that produced the witch, I mean that created the witch. Imagine the Holy Ghost. You know, when somebody is saying it's a witch, it's just a witch because one small tiny demon, do you understand, is helping the person. Now, both the demon and the person, their creator, is living inside you. And it's just living there rent-free. Do you understand? And the creator that is living inside you, that's the Holy Ghost, is the one that framed them. It's living on the inside. He designed them. So it's living inside you. So your Bible said that when a dog is mad, it still knows fire. Do you understand? As a mad dog. When you put fire here like this, the madness will just go. So in his mad state, he still recognizes that I can't enter fire. That's exactly how it is. Sure, you understand what I'm saying? So you are new in your spirit. Then you now have to come to church so that they will now begin to feed you with things that will now help you to import newness in your spirit into your soul. And that's where the milk of the word comes in. Do we understand what I'm saying? So that milk is a very, very solid foundation. It's actually foundation for the foundation of God's own building. The foundation of God's own building is Christ. But you see, this foundation is very necessary because the foundation of God's own building, when it comes and is laid, it won't sit well. If this other foundation is already faulty. Are we together? I just showed us earlier how a church in everlasting life, the book of Revelation, the Lord was telling them, I will remove your lampstand if you don't repent. But that's not where they start to learn repentance. They start to learn repentance from the milk of God's word. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? All right. So let me say one more thing and then I think I will be done. God will help us. From next month, we'll begin to, I'm just showing us the reason why our building should be without fault. Shall we understand? The reason our buildings should be without fault. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. That's one particular place we read. Isaiah 28. I think that should be, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now, this is how it should be. Are we understanding? Let's say weaned from milk. Now, when a child is weaned from milk, actually, milk is not supposed to make the child completely dependent on it. How you will know a child has taken enough milk is that the child can do without it. Do we understand? Because what milk does is that it puts something inside you. Yes, it's a formation. That formation will be there. So, and that formation, thank you, Pastor. That formation will be permanent. In the world to come, that formation is there. Mommy says something, one writing a vision. Mommy said the high priest garment, the garment of a high priest, that she discovers that the white garments, is actually the background like that. And then she said it signifies milk of God's word. A lot of milk. A lot of milk. Let me tell you, if you see people that did milk well, they look like people who are doing Faith of the Son. They look like people. In fact, you can meet them and say, I've met somebody who is living all the message. But no, it's milk, actually. They took milk, they did milk, used it to the peak. But if you begin to question them, how you will know that it's not the same thing, is that they don't even know what the hope of eternal life is. They don't know Faith of the Son. In fact, a whole lot of them don't know so many things. Why are they doing all of those things? They are doing it so that they will make heaven. And then they are doing it for conscience sake. Pastor, you know one thing that shocked me recently? I discovered that there are people. There's a particular woman like that. I don't know why I'm using this kind of example. But there's a particular woman like that who, she was young, very pretty, very beautiful. And then she was supposed to be married. She was already in a marriageable age. And then she's a minister of God. I don't want to mention her name because people will just go on the internet immediately and just begin to. And then some people can. So she's a minister of God, very powerful, dangerous prophet, in Nigeria. If you mention her name among ministers, there's no minister in this country that does not know her. And everybody respects her. So she was young. And then they were young, marriageable age. The Lord spoke to her that this is your husband. And then the Lord spoke to the brother, that's your wife. And then the brother, for some reason, just felt like, no, I won't marry her. You know, brothers have problem. Brothers have plenty idols. Sure, you understand? And, you know, all those idols are not things that sometimes you just ask a brother. Right? I just like fair girls. Why? Ah, well, I don't know. That's just me. That's not you. Do you understand? That's not you. You picked that thing from somewhere. And if you will calm down and allow the Holy Ghost escort you back into your past, you will know where you picked it from. You know, sometimes we pick idols from movies. You like a particular movie and then the main character of the movie, there's a way the guy used to behave. If care is not taken, you see the way that guy is looking. That thing can just become what you are looking for in a man. Do you understand? And then you are just looking for, what are their names? How their name just disappeared now? Shay, you understand? You are just looking for somebody who, you know, a tall guy. And then, you know, he's dark, he's handsome, you know, and then the way he dresses. Shay, you understand? You pick that thing from somewhere. They didn't bond you with it. Do you understand? They didn't bond you with it. When they gave birth to you, you were just like a child. You will take anything you were given. And that's what conversion to a child will also take us to. It will take you back to a place where you relinquish everything you picked when you will become aged or when you became old. So I was just looking at it that, okay. So when they say, I want a fair sister, look at her. Yeah, this one is very black. Oh. You know, one brother once told me, said, she's so black that, but at least she's very white. That in the dark, I won't see her except when she smiles. Shall you understand? For you to know how far the mind of some brothers go on top of this is the person you should marry. And the reason why all those things matter most of the time is because you are not married yet. When you get married, you discover that those things are not issues. Those things are not. I was still talking to somebody last week, and then we were talking about the issue of height. I said the only place where height makes sense is in picture. That's all. I like it when my husband is, you know, taller than me and all of that. And I just like that. It's only picture. When you enter marriage and real life issues face you, you won't remember height. What's height? You will appreciate height somewhere else. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Height inside. And Yoruba people did not invent Agumaniye for nothing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When they say somebody is Agumaniye, do you know what it means? The guy is tall. He lacks breadth. The guy is tall. No inspiration. The guy is just there. His selling point. The only thing he's good for is the tall. So when you look at him, wow, look at this tall guy. That's all. Maybe not be like that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What kind of life is that? God forbid. Share you get. So that's how far idols sometimes can make people dull. And you'll just be looking, what you are looking for is surface. You will never look deep inside. Now, Satan did all of those kind of work. Sometimes Satan just laid eggs. You can just be with some people. Maybe your aunties are talking about some guys. So one of them now said, that guy, I can't go with that guy. Look at him, short. You never had problem with short people until you had that comment. Are you understanding? So immediately you had that comment like that, just dashed your eye. And then the next thing, you inherited it. I can't marry somebody that is short too. Hey, me care. Short. Do you understand? So all those things that I don't know where it came from, you know where it came from. And sometimes you might have forgotten, but the Holy Ghost can take you back. And then you will know exactly at what point you pick that thing so that you can renounce it. Otherwise, you see, as long as that thing is there, you can be married. You'll be wishing it was somebody else that was your husband. That thing will follow you. That thing doesn't leave people. Somebody has told my wife before that, don't worry, I will endure this marriage for 10 years. And after, I know we are going to part. As in, that's how bad that thing is. That's how bad it is. So it says, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk. So the milk will have put something in your mind. Put a particular formation in your mind. Put something in your heart. So it's a formation and I called it power. Let's say power. It will weave you into a powerful being that has faith towards God. We'll still look at faith towards God, but let me not jump into it now. Faith towards God. You know, some of us don't have faith at all. The reason some of us don't have prayer life that makes sense personally is because we don't have faith. Okay, how? Somebody will be thinking, no, I have faith. I know God will hear me. I know. But many of us have faith in our feelings much more than we have in God. When we gather together like this, collectively, we can pray, bring down fire. But when you are alone and you just need down like this, you just get up. Go see grace. I don't like to do something when there is no grace. Do you understand? Now you see that definition, it's just milk. It's milk. Milk will teach you that you don't depend on your feelings to validate the presence of God. Yeah, oh no. Go see grace. When you see grace, man. Guys just struggle. Are you understanding? And then you just go and watch movie. Whereas you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to pray. Grace is always available. I hope you know grace is always available. Let's say always. But you need faith to connect it. So faith will teach you to bypass your feelings and actually do what you are supposed to do. Shall we understand? So all of those things milk teachings, milk foundations. But when we say faith towards God, people are just thinking, claim it, grab it, get it. No. Faith is a whole curriculum. It's very big and it's very large. God will help us in Jesus' name. Them that are weaned from the milk and them that are drawn from the breast. What's the meaning of being drawn from the breast? Being drawn from the breast talks about a child. Weaned from the milk talks about a baby. Drawn from the breast talks about a child. When you have a child and then you are going out together, you hold the child close to your breast. Are we understanding? That doesn't mean a sucking breast. That's not what they are saying there. But you just hold him like this. Then a time comes, they take that child from you so that the child can now learn knowledge and understand doctrine. Are we together? All right. So these things are very important. And, you know, it's not our fault, many of us, that we did not have milk as at the time we came into the world of righteousness. Because I discovered something. Satan attacks preachers of the milk of God's word. Satan attacks them. There is one like that I know. Sound milk, as in sound milk. Before you knew anything, he just became concerned about Nigeria's problem. Do you get? Now, that's an attack. That's an attack. Satan can just come and meet you and say, with all this anointing that you have, your country is spoiling. What have you done? And then you just look at it and say, it's true. It's true. Satan will come and tell you that. Shall we say you people are kingdom people? Kingdom, 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 kingdom. And then your country is spoiling. Use kingdom initiatives to solve Nigeria's problem. And before you know anything, you catch another vision. That's an attack. And you'll be doing well there. People will be coming for the meeting, but you have already been derailed. So there are many of them like that I see in the body of Christ that, you know, you just discover that's why true milk is very scarce. And then the only thing our parents will tell us is go and get Kenetegin's materials. Because what is in print is in print. You can't edit it. You can't change it. Are we understanding? But real milk teachers, Satan just attacks them like that. Satan attacks them. Satan attacks preachers of meat, but Satan attacks preachers of milk. Because if you take milk well, the next thing you just discover that I'm looking for something more. I'm looking for something more. And there are more people with milk than with meat. So when Satan attacks milk preachers, he has already decimated the number of people that can connect meat. Do we get it? He has already reduced the number of people. So you just see people who are coming to church and then they are sitting down and then everything you are teaching them, everything they are being taught is how to make it. One lady was telling me, she said, Pastor Mike, I don't know what to do. I said, what happened? She said, my church for the last 3 months, the topic is how to think like a CEO. Do you understand? I just told her, I said, my dear sister, you have not found church yet too. Church, when you are going there, just tell your people you are going to Lagos Business School. Are you understanding? That one is not a church. That's not a church. I said, church. So I just told her, I said, see, let me recommend church for you. A place where they open Bible. They do open business materials. Are you getting it? How to think like a CEO? How? 3 months. And works of the flesh in that church is prospering like no man's business. You see HOD sleeping with the people that are under them. Choir master, of course, choir people. Then there was one particular brother like that did not like the way certain things were being done in NOWC. The guy left the church, left the NOWC, went to governing church, left governing church, went to that particular church. Women now started passing him. She understand that same church, and everybody would just come, they just kneel, they sit down like this. You know, sometimes when you meet some people who go to that church, they can cast an inferior shade on you because of the way they look. They are posh. That thing is empty. There's nothing inside it. She understand? There's nothing inside it. There's nothing inside diction. What's diction? Somebody pronounces word very well. You understand? You cannot pronounce word very well. It's like somebody, I remember many years ago, you know, there was this particular preacher that just said, Ejeka Shubibeli was a celestia. I said, what's a celestia? It's Ecclesiastes. You understand? The guy cannot pronounce Ecclesiastes, it's a celestia. I was just like, what's in a celestia? Pronounce things well, Ecclesiastes. But then I calmed down. That man blessed me. Do we understand? That man blessed me. See, the gospel is not English. Shall we understand it? Okay, you can pronounce Ecclesiastes well, beautiful. But what God was using that man to teach, have you embodied it? So there's not, you see all those diction, all those things that you see. Sometimes you can meet some guys and then you're just looking at them. You're trying to put yourself together so that the guy will not look down on you. There's not, when those guys, when they open them up, you discover that it's air that is inside. There's nothing inside it. Shall you get? So that's the church. They start passing this girl over the place. When I had the news, I was like, I'm not surprised. Think like a CEO. For 3 months, what kind of people will you raise? Which evil spirit will you judge in that kind of place? Sure, we are following what I'm saying. So now, Satan attacks preachers of the milk of God's word. And one of the things God is now helping us to do through our parents, under our daddy Kayo Deyogoke, is that, you know, as we move to meat, and then we now move to strong meat. I remember daddy said it during one School of the Spirit. We will see milk where? we now say milk well. Oh, this is the milk of God's word. Some of us learn milk under the guise and with the hope that we are making it to heaven. Do we understand? Now we now know that the goal is beyond heaven. Then we will appreciate milk better. Shall we understand? It's in milk that they teach Bible study. Some of us are so spiritual, we don't read Bible again. The only thing we do is listen to messages. You will not grow. Are we following what I'm saying? You won't grow. Did I say stop listening to messages? Listen, no. By all means, listen. But there is something having a personal contact with the words. There's what it does to you. You know, there's a particular lady I discovered. You know, she came to my house recently and she told me that when I started reading the Bible, then I discovered that anytime I come for meetings and the word is taught, it comes alive. Now, one of the reasons why people can come for meetings, you can sit down and you are dead from beginning to the end, is because the word is not latching onto anything inside you. And there was nothing inside. There was no roots at all. There was nothing inside that was, you know, that the preacher was saying was resonating with. You came empty. So you are just there, dry. Do you understand? So reading Bible, you will, is in milk of the word. Are you understanding? Praying. Let's say praying. Praying is in milk of the word. Shall you understand? Some of us cannot even pray in English. Construct prayer in English. No. Sometimes it can be a sign that you are not disciplined in your mind. Do you get? I learned from Hagin, pray in English well, then I'll switch to spirit. So when you are kneeling down and then you are praying, this is the prayer point. And then Hagin will tell the Holy Ghost, Lord, this is what I want to pray. I am trusting you to help me pray it well. And I discovered that when I pray like that, shall you understand? The same tongue I will find to pray on this matter will be different from the one I'll find on this one. Sometimes it might be the same, but it's the Holy Ghost that knows how he collects all of those things. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then I discovered that, this is prayer. And then by the time you are praying and then you are finished praying through, you will know. Somewhere here, thank you, sir. I like that, the way you describe it. You just know that, yes, I prayed through on this matter. Are we getting what I'm saying? Now, you see all those teachings. It's not me too. It is milk of God's word. They prayed in Acts of Apostles, the place where they gathered, shook milk. Milk can produce that kind of effect. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So then, witnessing. Let's say witnessing. Talking to somebody about Jesus. Now, some of us don't even do that anymore. Now, that is still part of milk of God's word. Are we understanding? Should I tell you the truth? You are a better witness now by reason of the things you have heard. Before, you know those days we used to go do, let's go fishing. You just carry Bible. Our Bibles are never this small, though. Should you understand? They're always big. Just carry Bible. Brother, good afternoon, sir. Please, can you just give me like 5 minutes? I want to share the word of God with you. And then the brother is just looking at you. He knows everything that you want to say. Then you now open your Bible and say, you know, Jesus is coming soon. You know? If you don't give your life to Christ, you will go to hell. And some different kind of stuff like that. The guy is just looking at you. You know, that's how I went to go and preach to that my senior that I used to tell us about. Was 16, thereabout. I just went to go and preach to him that, hey, heaven is real. You don't go to hell. The guy just said, Mike, that hell, that's where I want to go. I've never met that kind of opposition in my life. Hell. That's why I got born again. You understand? I got born again because I don't want to go there. I now saw somebody, secondary school, who was not afraid of hell. Said, that hell, that's where I want to go. Said, that heaven will be too boring. Don't you think so? Said, because everybody just wear white. He was not preaching to me. Shall you understand? And he was encouraging me to come and join them in hell. And then he was telling me that heaven, that everybody would just be wearing white, just singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, oh, my dog gone. He said, but when you come to hell, after you have done Tupac, Amaru Shakur, then you switch to Biggie. Then we switch to all these ones. Then Fela had no head there. He said, you see this Baba 70? He was a hell boy. When he dies, he's coming to hell. So after you are through with all the foreign jams, you just switch to the African jams. And they'll just rock each other to it. I said, Mike, come and join us. I said, no, me, are you? Me, okay. That's why I just left the room. But you know the funny thing? The best thing is a preacher today. Are we understanding? You know what happened? You see, my word level at that time, I couldn't combat that kind of trouble. Because I just saw somebody who overcame the reason I got born again. She understand? But you know what that person needed? That person needed Daddy Billy. Do you understand? A guy just went for Daddy Billy's meeting. Daddy Billy just ministered fast. As Daddy Billy finished meeting, this guy cried. His two eyes almost came out. Do you understand? He's a preacher today. You get. But you know the truth. You now know why people should get born again. And you can actually teach it from different angles. Imagine walking to a guy and telling him that, honestly speaking, you can stop decaying if you can get born again. You know? And then the hope you are giving the guy is the hope of everlasting life. Not the hope of heaven. You know the way heaven is even painted. Cannot even allow some people like it. Somebody said, what do I want to go and do in heaven? If I have enough money, I can create heaven here. What do I want to go and do there? Said, they said the street is of gold. Said, I can put gold on my streets. Share you understand? And then I can walk on it. I don't need to go there to go and experience it. Share you understand? So the way heaven is painted, you know heaven, no more sorrow. We'll be singing hymns. Some people don't even like hymns. Are you understanding me? Do you get? But imagine preaching to somebody, ministering to somebody with the hope of salvation. I remember I was asked to come for a freshers meeting, you know, in Foursquare some years ago. And then I went for that meeting. I taught from John 3:16 and I gave altar call for people who want to get born again. Pastor, there are some guys, mainly you see them like, you know, they're almost a shulili. This one is not born. As in, this one has never smelled church. They actually came there for babes. You know, freshers, they're just coming and all that. I just thought, John 3:16, I gave altar call. And what I thought that day was just everlasting life hope. I thought faith of the Son. And then people came out. They were not ashamed. You know those things that you preach and then you'll be saying that, if you want to give your life, guys, come out. And nobody is coming out. Everybody close their eyes. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, before men, I'll be ashamed of you. Before. You're just guilt-tripping people. See, you understand? You're just trying to make people sorry. You're just trying to manipulate them to come out emotionally. So, but this one, I just saw guys, they just came out. And then they just stood in front of me. I was just looking at them. I was just seeing soldiers. Kai. I said, these guys got born again, knowing what they are born again for. Do you get? So this one, they will not need to be changing their hope after a while. They actually, it's not even, actually, it's now this one. It's now this one. No. Look at the guys that got born again on the day of Pentecost. What hope did Peter give to them? Now, they were the same people, you know, that when they were beating the apostles, they counted, you know how many of them died? Terrible deaths. But what anchored them through death was the hope that was sold to them when they had the gospel. So you are better equipped to even be a soul winner now, much more than you have ever been before. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Now, all of those things are also in the milk of God's word. Let's say the milk of God's word. Some of us have family members. And then somehow, some of us have some family members that are not born again, but they respect you. You think it's not God who did that thing? God intentionally tied them to you. Your words carry weight. Sometimes you have one uncle, very unreasonable uncle. Your uncle gives your daddy problem, gives your mommy problem, but just loves you for something, for a reason you cannot explain. Do you understand? You think that thing is just for nothing. God actually tied people like that to you so that you can actually witness to them. Are we getting what I'm saying? The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Now, you see, all these things have to be present in our building. What am I saying? They have to be present. Giving. Now, some of those things is milk. Let's say milk. So it's not faith of the Son. You understand? You can give your salary like this. Just look at the salary. Wow, one more salary. Just give it to a brother. Bass. It may not qualify as charity because people did it under milk allocation in Acts of Apostles. So when they are talking about charity, something very, very high. And if we don't quickly clear those things now, you will be thinking that what milk should address is what faith of the Son is designed to address. Nowadays, we find a lot of people talking about pornography and masturbation. Pornography and masturbation is a milk matter. That's not what faith of the Son is designed to cleanse. What's faith of the Son? Faith of the Son is designed to handle sin, not the children's sin give birth to. So you see, that one is milk. Let's say milk. I remember watching one video like that with daddy of a porn star, a pornographic actor who got born again. Milk washed this guy. He's a preacher. He got married. I think he has 2 children. Living very nice life. As in, I'm not saying somebody was watching porn. Somebody that was doing it. It's milk. And the guy is clean. Sure, you understand? So milk is powerful. So you don't get to a particular point and you say, Shebi, they say, when I'm hearing this message, all these things will go. And then these things are not going. The message is not powerful. No, you are misusing the message. What the message is designed to address. In fact, those days when we used to come for Believer's Convention, I remember Pastor Emeka told us that if you are here, you see a problem with fornication, he said, this message is not for you. I remember Pastor used to tell us then. So somehow, that thing just did something to my mind. And later, I now understood why Pastor was saying that. Because you see, all those works of the flesh will render you so dull, you won't be able to profit with what you are hearing. So it doesn't mean you can't come and hear what they are saying, no. It doesn't mean you can't come and then you can't echo it. It doesn't mean you can't come and use natural intelligence to pick it and probably, you know, but you will not be able to use it. To use it, you need a vessel that is clean. To use it, there is a way your body has to be. They said, present your bodies. Then the next verse, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is a way your body has to be, so that you can prosper with the mystery of Christ. Are we following what I'm saying? So all of those things are milk matters. Let's say amen. So by the time we look at us, you know, like this, and then we are all moving as one, as a unit. There's a place we are going to. Daddy, you know, daddy just came back. And the word level is going to go up. Forget. See, forget it. The thing will climb. If you were following the Canada meetings and all of that, just cover that the thing is just going up and up and up and up. Last night of Canada SOS, Daddy taught for how many hours? Daddy taught for almost about 5 hours. And I know Daddy intentionally stopped it because Oshiku, the thing was still plenty. So we will be ready. Now, one of the reasons why we can get offended is because there is deficiency in our building. But I see the mercy of God coming to us. Sure, you understand? You know, this year. And that mercy of God is to help us plug all the leaks in our structure. To plug all the leaks, you know, in our building. So all the faults, maybe the building is supposed to be like this, supposed to be smooth. There's one rough patch there. Now, and then, or there's one part that's caved in. One lizard can just hide inside that one. Sure, you understand? And then they are making you into a habitation of God. You don't want to house demons. I don't want to have some very funny, funny spirits, funny, funny attitudes. Are we together? This message is a message for every one of us, me inclusive. So every one of us, as the Lord is going to be helping us and is taking us, you know, further, we'll begin to see many, many things. Do we get offense, for example? Milk can teach you how to handle offense. So it's not that you come into word of righteousness. One small thing just happens, something very small. In fact, the next thing that came to your mind is you are leaving church. You are leaving church? Really? Of course, if you leave church, we will miss you. But you are the one that will lose the most. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are the one that will lose the most. But you saying, I'm just leaving. It just shows that there was a fault in your building to start with. You know? So, but as we are going up, as we are ascending, as we are becoming heavenly, you know, the Lord has to help us to ensure that when we really take off, we are taking off to land. We are not taking off to be stranded. Are we understanding? And we are not taking off to crash land. We are not taking off to go and explode. You know, somebody says we are going somewhere to explode. No, we are not taking off to go and explode. We are taking off so that we will arrive and land safely. Are we understanding? So,
thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Samabia parwa my mind. Eluwa favia for my journey ante. Even the men who appear poor, they are telling me and the sir. And no, my fifi, me be baby, be do she, man, belly Johnny. A shimmy mama, mambo, it ever ruined 30. A minon, jiminon, Johnny, at a little barato. A juman, John, Deniali, amaron, Johnny, at a. Elembino, great kesubida, great kesumine, and Johnny, alabane. And uele, mama, kueti, if you don't, jini, mambane. Any man, in manje, even the mamma manage, even the J, even the Johnny, even the Johnny, even it's a Johnny, it's a Johnny, it's a Johnny, it's a Johnny that's so real, even in the spirit, it's a Johnny that it is so tangible, it is a reality in the spirit, the Johnny of a believer, a Johnny of a man. Call me not to God. It's such a big reality, even in the spirit, even in the spirit, even in the spirit, that man can journey from being a man and journey even into become God. And man can journey from being sold under sin to become sinless, just as God. It is a reality in the spirit. It is real in the spirit. It is real in the spirit. There are witnesses that have borne witness even to this journey, even in the spirit. Can a man inherit God in the days of his flesh? Yes, it's a reality that it is very real, even in the spirit. Guard up your loins and make up your mind even to fulfill even this calling. Even guard up your loins and make up your mind even to fulfill this journey in the spirit. It is not a gainsaying. It is not even crafted by men. It is not a word said even to keep you bound. It is a reality that is in the spirit. Look and you will see the journey. Look and the reality of the journey will dawn on you. It is not a journey without an end. It is not a journey without a hope. It is not a journey that does not have an end. It is not a journey that
one does not have a hope. It is a journey that ends in God. It ends in God. It ends even in God. Even in God. Even in God. I'm saying even this. For it to dawn on your heart that you are not following a cunningly devised fable. That you are not following a word, even the wise saying of men alone. You are following the reality that is in God. For every man that is upon the face of the earth, even for every man that is upon the face of the earth, you are not wasting away. You are not wasting your time. You are not doing things that is not of value even to your soul. It's a journey to God. It's a journey to God. It's a journey even that ends in God. That ends in God. That ends in God. And it can be achieved even in the days of your flesh. Even in the days of your flesh. So gather up your loins and make up your mind. Gather up your loins and make up your mind that I will do even this journey. I will see even the end of this matter. I will get even to the end of this journey. I will become as God, and nothing else will make your satisfaction until you become even as God. It is a journey that is real in God. It 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 is real in God. And by the time even you make up your mind to follow through, you will see the reality of this journey. As you take step, the journey becomes brighter. As you take another step, it becomes brighter, till it becomes the reality of your soul, till it becomes the entirety of your being, that you want to end up even in God. Even in God. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey that has an end, and the end is God. See the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah. So lastly, now, it's a journey, and like we heard, and this is January. We, after now, you know, Pastor will be coming up, and we'll have to demonstrate to God our willingness to actually embark on this journey. Let's say amen. Now, am I saying we shouldn't hear, you know, the big revelations? No. Shall we understand? In fact, we should hear them. We should follow them. And as we are following, we should also ensure that we are not deficient in the places where we need to patch. Shall you understand? So that we will not build a skyscraper on nothing. And then at the end of the day, the whole thing will... In fact, Satan likes those kind of projects. You know, Satan can wait. You know, Satan can wait. Shall you know Satan can wait? He has some kind of patience. You know, imagine somebody who waited for Moses for 40 years to strike. From when Moses killed that Egyptian. Shall you understand? He knew that there's an investment I have inside this guy. You know, anger. And when the time has come, I will appeal to it. And he waited 40 years until the people provoked him and he struck the mountain instead of talking to the mountain. So Satan can wait. Satan likes to make mockery of God's people, especially those who appears they have gone far. Shall you understand? But everybody that he got like that, at some point, there were deficiencies in their build. I remember that he was talking to me one time and he was showing me Balaam. And he told me, he said, Balaam had precepts. He said, Balaam actually did not have ways. Now, it is in the learning of ways that they deliver you from the love of money. You know, you can love money so much, but your understanding of precepts is 100%. Shall you understand? So you just be like that. You have so much precepts, you can dissect everything, you can teach. You know, you can teach, a place will catch fire. Are you understanding? But you love the wages of unrighteousness. So it's another thing that God will have to, you know, another process God will have to engineer to deliver the soul from the wages, from the love of the wages of unrighteousness. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So a whole lot of all of those. So we are hearing that we are going to be following. In fact, we are going to be following at the frequency with which the word is dropping, because there's another temptation. And that temptation can be, it'd be like, say, I don't even get milk like this. So you see all these everlasting life, heavenly man they are talking about. It's not me. Forget about it. You will now go and sit down with Hagin. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know, I didn't say you shouldn't read Hagin. Read Hagin. But I'm not saying go and sit down with Hagin, such that that is now the only thing you are now reading. And then you are now listening to messages. You are now sitting down that let me even go and do something about my milk. Are we understanding? Now, that way, you won't have enough grace to do what you should do. Do we understand what I'm saying? So you will still follow at that height.
Season of the Spirit is coming. The things you are going to be hearing in season of the Spirit are no milk. I hope we know. But when you even look at the team self, share you understand. You know, this one is where eagles fly. Are you understanding? So, and I know that God in his mercy will still bring us to the need for milk, even in that particular season of the Spirit. Are we following? So we will listen, we will follow at that height, but we should also make sure that we are not deficient where we need, you know, help. We are not, our building in that particular place does not have fault. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Are we blessed this afternoon? Are we blessed this afternoon? Are we sure we are blessed? I hope I did not offend anybody. Shall we understand? Oh, I'm seeing your friend though. Shall you understand? And I love every one of us. I just feel this thing, what we are touching, what we are scratching is big. Let's say big. See, it is big. And I've been having one concern of late. You know, I shared it, discussed it with the people living with me, that I hope it's not that God is using this generation to actually download precepts so that the generation that is coming are the ones that will do the work and sit on the throne. Do you understand? That I just hope that it's not that they are just, because God still needs a company to actually download precepts. God needs people to gather so that precepts can be downloaded and become complete. Do we understand? But you just cover that God used some people to bring the message down. There is another generation that embodied the message. Now, the generation that entered and took the promised land was not the generation that had the message first. A generation had the message first. Are we understanding? But that generation failed at some point. I hope we are not failing at our tests. Do we understand? You know, and sometimes we can be tested and not know we are being tested. You like show us an example. Sometimes, you know, maybe mommy Helen just comes and ministers. And then she talks about a particular dealing that she had. And then by the time she's done talking about it, you know, in your heart, you just say, hey, that's you. That's you, not me. Now, the posture of your heart says a lot to God about what you can take. And then there can be some dealings that God wants to bring to you. And then God just looks at the posture of your heart. It just bypasses you with those dealings. And every dealing that passes by you is a glory that you just missed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then I was just looking at it. I was looking at myself. I was looking at my parents. My parents can't relate with word of righteousness. I'm the one hearing word of righteousness. I'm the one teaching word of righteousness in a very tiny level. Are you understanding? And then I'm looking at it because I can take the demands of the word of righteousness. Hope is not that what I cannot take, my children will take it. And then God will now look at you and say, because the people to whom the promise first came, they were not ready for it. And then God bypassed. And then God chose the next generation. Because I can tell you, your children will not be thinking like you. Do you understand? Your children will be thinking. You see what is your headache? It's not going to be their own headache. So I was just thinking that God help us. You know? And when, you know, myself and Pastor were in the office the other time, Pastor was just telling me the burden that he has in his heart. And I'm like, God really loves us. God wants us to plug all the gaps so that we will not fail our tests. See, the time people fail, they don't know. They don't know. People are still expecting one major test. No, it might just be your response to a particular message. You know, somebody can preach. You know, they can just say something during on the pulpit. Bass, you just say, hey, that's not me. Oh. Do you understand? And then by the time you now see Jesus face to face, you just be hearing like those guys had. I was hungry. You didn't feed me. And they're like, when did we see you hungry? They will not say that. You didn't know that when you took a hard posture like this, you already did it. It was me that said those things. And then the kind of posture you took in your heart just let me know that you can't follow me to the very end. Do you understand? So, may we not fail our tests. And the Lord will show us a lot of mercy. Are we following what I'm saying? So, I think God really loves us. And God wants to help us so that nothing will be... If there are deficiencies, God wants to supply those things. That's why the burden is on the heart of pastor. Are we understanding what I'm saying? And I think it's something we all should rejoice about. It's something in our heart we should thank God for. One thing I don't like in my life. Are you understanding? I don't want to believe I got it, only for me to stand before Jesus and discover I never tried. Do you know what that means? As in, you just stand before Jesus like this and discover you believed a lie all your life. And that where you thought you had gotten to, you are not even there. You are not close. They'll just be looking at you like this. You lived on earth like a fool. Shall you understand? Because somehow there were certain things you did not like. Shall we understand? There were certain truths you did not like to hear. You know, but I think God wants to show us mercy a whole lot, you know, this year. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. By the time we are going to be touching November 2024, every one of us will look back and give God thanks specially for this year. Shall you understand? For a whole lot of breakthrough breakthrough in the lines of milk. Let's say lines of milk. You know, lines of milk is actually the real place. Go, 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 go. That's where the formation is. It's the lines that they will name. You know, you can teach milk precepts very well, but you don't have it. You know, we use the Young Believers class manual, right? You know, you can teach faith towards God, but you don't have faith. You can teach it. This faith towards God. And then you are teaching the manual. Everybody that is listening to you is like, wow, wow. But the teacher himself gone need faith. Do you understand? You can teach laying on of hands, but you don't have it. Now, all those things is precepts. So you can go through Young Believers class and still not have milk. Do you understand? So I think God, beyond that, because I know we still have, you know, those provisions in service, beyond that, God wants to really, really help us lay those things well so that by the time they will be looking at us, the throne will examine you. You must not be with a fault. Are we understanding? The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Can we just go ahead and give God praise this afternoon? I want us all to thank God. I want us to thank God. You know, I want us to thank God. Every opportunity to revisit us to ensure that nothing is lacking in our formation is something that calls for thanksgiving. It can be a humbling process. It can be a humbling experience. But it is better for you to be humble now than for you to be humbled in eternity. It's better for you to be humbled now than for your faults to be revealed by a calamity that will befall you. Can you just go ahead and give God praise? That, Lord, I thank you. We give you praise. We give you all the glory. We give you praise. We give you all the glory. I want us to just go ahead and give God praise. I want us to go ahead and give God praise. Some of us are having the privilege and the opportunity for things that we should have had when we got born again to be supplied. That, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to really, really thank you. I want to really, really give you praise. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. And I want us to pray that in the name of Jesus, the Lord will help our hearts to cooperate. The Lord will give us the willingness. Willingness in our hearts, willingness in our minds. That the Lord will help us. We will receive the things that are coming. I want you to tell the Lord that, Lord, can you help me? I want you to teach me. I want you to help me. Where are all those areas where I am lacking? Where are all those areas where I am lacking? And the lack in those areas is affecting my prosperity in the things around Christ and in the things of everlasting life. That, Lord, can you show me mercy? Can you help me cooperate with you? Help me cooperate with you. Help me cooperate with you. I want you to pray. I want you to talk to Jesus. Talk to him sincerely from the depth of your heart. You must be without fault before the throne. You must be without fault before the adversary. The prince of this world should come around you and find nothing inside you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Can you pray? My foundation will not be faulty. Or my foundation that is faulty, Lord, can you revisit it? Can you show me mercy? Can you show me mercy? I want us to pray that this year Citra will be for you. That in the name of Jesus, this year Citra will be for me. This year Citra will be for me. You will address issues particular to me. You will show me mercy. You will help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. I want you to pray. I want you to talk to the Lord. I want you to pray. Talk to the Lord. Give me enough meekness to acknowledge where I am wrong. Give me enough meekness to acknowledge that I need help. Give me enough meekness to make adjustments where necessary. Help me, Lord Jesus. Show me mercy, my Father. I don't want to build skyscrapers on nothing. I don't want to build high things on a foundation that is faulty. I want you to help me. I want you to help me. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.